The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a different weekend, a different outcome. The Patriots victorious in Minnesota. Kind of running away. Should I say, use the word running away? Not that the running game was that great or the offense, but the Patriots piled up the points 30-7 against the Vikings, of course, without Adrian Peterson. But right off the bat, I want to go to Paul and Andy. Paul?
Fred?
In the past, you've been known to say that as long as the Patriots have Tom Brady, you're not worried about the offense. Do you stick to that contention?
Well, I'm more worried about the offense, as I argued with Andy last week, than I am other areas of the team this particular year, because I have not seen any signs of other guys' complimentary pieces. But, yeah, do I in general think that as long as Tom Brady is upright that they'll find a way to score enough points to win? Yeah.
Wrong answer. Andy? In the past, you've been known to say that you're looking for playmakers on defense. Have you found them?
I'm feeling better about the fact that I have them. I'd still like to see it done against, you know, the great Paul Perillo told me about Matt Cassel. He's not the kind of quarterback who's going to throw it to the other team five times.
No.
Well, no, only four.
Just four.
I liked what I saw in defense from Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, obviously Darrell Revis. Now, progress. As you get to those later games, you're going to have to be better. But, yes, nice little taste of playmaking on defense.
Fred, can I take that as to mean that I had the wrong answer because you are worried about the offense?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
How can you not be?
I mean, that's very consistent with him. He was worried about the offense.
And they had five Pro Bowlers.
So he should be worried about the offense now in his defense.
I was worried
about
the offense.
I mean, you have to be.
You were worried about the offense when they had a lot more weapons than they have right now.
He's right. We argued.
Yes.
Yeah. We argued.
We had big arguments about this a couple years ago.
Okay. Anyway, I am worried about the offense right now. They haven't scored a touchdown the second half. I think Tom Brady shares my concern, judging from his post-game press conference.
And, oh, he wasn't happy. It wasn't, woohoo, we blew him out. It's great.
And, you know, I understand, like, some people say, hey, you know, it's a team win. What's he so on? He's unhappy because they can't find the end zone in the second half. When they take away Edelman.
They're not finding it all that often in the first half.
No, you're right. But when they take away Edelman, he doesn't have much. And that's what he's worried about now.
You know what he's worried about? It's not sustainable.
He's
played this movie out before.
It's not good enough.
Right.
It's not good enough.
Right.
And he knows that if he doesn't get something else, it's not good enough. That's why he's upset.
So where is the blame, if you want to, you know, I don't know if we should blame anyone, but where is the root of the problem? Because obviously, first play of the game, the first pass attempt of the game, go to Dobson, he makes the catch. I think there was one other attempt at Dobson for the rest of the game.
I believe
LaFell,
so.
No targets. Amendola, one target, and like the week before, it gets called back because of a penalty. Why isn't he throwing to these guys? Is this McDaniels? Is this Brady overruling McDaniels' calls that are coming in?
Well, no, because it's not Josh. Josh doesn't tell him where to throw. Josh gives him a play, and there are reads. Brady has said, now on the record, And I found that interesting when he said it before week one. If I don't trust you or I don't have faith, I'm not going to look to your side. Well, that's a little different than my favorite receiver is the open receiver. He's basically saying that I won't look over.
But Andy, you know that on any play,
you and I know, Fred, we played the game.
There's a first read. There's
call
a second
Matt Chatham
read.
On you.
You know, there's a first read. So if that first read is a guy that Brady's not trusting, well, then it is a McDaniels Brady thing.
No, but Josh isn't telling him not to throw at anybody. He's not running plays that eliminate.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is Josh is calling the play, and if the play calls for Amendola to be the first read.
Then it's a Brady thing. If he doesn't throw to him.
But Josh knows. I mean, Josh isn't dumb. He knows that Brady's having a problem with Amendola. So I either have to tell Brady, you have to go with that first read. I'm sorry. Or stop calling those plays.
I'm going to give – I threw this out to you in your office. I'm going to throw out my conspiracy theory, Paul Perillo, if it is one. I don't even know what to call it.
I love it. You guys had good conspiracy talk before I got
clearly,
here?
Tom Brady is a little hesitant to throw to some guys, the complimentary guys.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Could it be then, two-part question here for me, John Dennis, could it be then he was burned by the signing of one Brandon Lloyd in which he was beat over the head for a full 16-game slate? Keep going to him. I'm telling you it's worth it. Invest in him.
Well,
Brandon
good,
Lloyd
good
himself,
comparison.
Right? Brandon Lloyd himself said,
I didn't rule it out.
My credibility is Josh McDaniels.
You don't rule any of them out, though.
And that he says, I wasted one flipping year on the guy you told me it was worth it. I invested a full flipping year.
And then you let him walk.
Right.
Not only you let him walk, you cut him.
Right.
Because he was under contract.
So I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm not investing. If I don't think the guy's good enough or warrant the investment, I'm not doing it.
Interesting. I don't know if there's any validity to
it,
but it's not way out of the realm of possibility.
But the bottom line is, as much as I love James Devlin, he was the third option in the passing game. I don't think he should be the third option in the passing game.
Andy and I were talking about this during the game. Fred, you do miss out on a lot when you're not in that conference room with us watching the game.
Apparently.
There was a play, not only Devlin got two targets and virtually everybody else got one, he was like double covered on one of them.
He was blanketed.
like Brady had to thread the needle to get one to him.
But I think that proves the point. Like, it's not about you being covered. It's about me trusting you and wanting to throw to you.
Right, and
James Devlin, you're in the in crowd right now.
Well, but in that regard, the first pass of the game that Fred alluded to Dobson, he was tightly covered.
Right.
And he jammed it in there and he got it in.
And, you know, and he always used to be the open guy. And I think if Brady does have this issue, then he's not, the better way to prove his point is to go to that guy and let him screw it up and then be able to have the evidence to say to Josh, you see, I'm throwing it to these guys, and you know, so we need to change something up. He's not going to prove his point by not throwing it to these guys. So I say he's got to throw it to them, let them screw up if they do, and then he'll have the evidence to change the playbook.
Are we hyper-analyzing this?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the playbook. I think that the issue is that
the play calls coming in.
But I don't think it's an issue of the play calls coming in. I think it's an issue of these guys aren't, whether it's Brady's fault or the receiver's fault, and like Bill always says, it's probably a combination of some of those factors. If you got him, you know, in an honest moment and he wasn't worried about, you know, necessarily hurting anyone's feelings, I'm sure that there's times that Brady's at fault on this. That he is stubbornly not throwing the ball to Amendola or LaFell. But there's probably other times where those guys, quite frankly, aren't where they're supposed to be. And Brady's right. And that's why he doesn't look their way more often than he does.
So it's a Brady problem.
I think it's both.
It's not a $39 million dollars of wasted money problem.
Did I just not explain that was a combination?
Yeah. No,
but you brought in $39 million worth of receivers that right now appear destined for inactive in Amendola and Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
Is that not a scouting problem?
We need LaFell to be active if we're going to run the ball the way we did the other day. We loaded up with our running package. And LaFell is part of that. No, I'm just talking about running it 38 times.
Right. Because that's another thing that gets glossed over. They didn't run the ball all that successfully in the first half when they came out with the clear intention to run the ball successfully. I thought Stephen Ridley ran well. I didn't think there was a lot there, and that's how you end up with whatever it was, 29 yards. No. 29.
Oh, two,
I'm talking about the first half before they
changed in the first half.
It was like 29 yards on 11 attempts or something. Yeah, 2.6 for Stephen Ridley. 11 attempts, 29 yards. For a team that came in with six offensive linemen on the field and a fullback, that's not all that dominant.
Yeah, because if the same thing happened in the second half of this game that happened in the second half in Miami, we'd be looking back and say, what's wrong with the running game? Because they wouldn't have been able to run the ball all that time.
Right.
What was it? 25 times Ridley ended up with.
If this was a close game, they probably wouldn't 25. Have been able to do what they
did
in
so
the
he had
half.
14 more carries in the second half that he wasn't able to get in Miami because they got out there and immediately they started stumbling around offensively. They fumbled the ball, three and outs. Well, that never really materialized because they had the big lead. They were just pounding away. And then finally in the fourth quarter, it looked like Minnesota just said, let's get this game over with. And he broke a 16-yarder and a 9-yarder, I think, on consecutive plays. And before you know it, he's up to 100 yards. But I thought Ridley, to your guy, Freddie, I thought he ran really well on Sunday. I don't think there were a lot of big holes that he was running through. I thought he maximized. Now, Bill disagrees with me and Andy because Andy felt the same way I did. Bill said that they felt like they left a lot of yards on the field in the running game. I didn't see that. I saw Ridley making guys miss in the backfield constantly.
If you ask me, I think he was talking about Vereen.
Well, I thought he didn't run very well on that first run that he had.
And he might not just be talking about the backs. I mean, a play could be well designed.
That's a good point.
And one guy, you know, took a wrong step, blocked the wrong guy. And
right.
I don't think that's necessarily Stephen Ridley. You didn't maximize your opportunities. I think there could be some kind of multi-layer.
And he didn't say Stephen Ridley. He
no,
said,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He could also be talking about Soldier's penalties. I mean, a couple of his penalties brought back pretty good runs.
Yeah,
now,
but,
you could argue that the runs wouldn't have happened.
The other thing, I hate that, especially in the holding penalties. Like, I'm still listening to them talking about Hooman's holding penalty that brought back the 20-yard run that Ridley had in the first game.
Which was the most obvious, directly related to the success of the play ever.
But
that would have been a three-yard run.
If you're a coach, you could say, Nate, if you had been out there and moved your feet, you wouldn't have had to have held, and you still could have made the block. You know, so there is a give and take there.
Freddie, I got a question for you that I posed on the Patriots pregame social presented by Dunkin' Donuts that I want to open up to the larger world of PFW in progress. If you could only coax one person out of retirement to make a mid-season addition to the New England Patriots, would it be Tony Gonzalez or Dante Scarnecchia?
I think that I think there's already a direct line to Dante, even though he's not.
He hasn't left yet.
I would have to say Tony Gonzalez. Yeah.
Now, I just think it's, you know, we talked about on the website early in the year when Gonzalez made the comments. Well, there's another guy that could be pretty important that you might want to try to coax out of retirement. Yeah. And that's Dante. Now, some people believe, you're right, he's still a consultant or whatever and isn't all that far away via phone and car and everything else. But I'd still also like to have him on the field making adjustments, right?
Yeah.
With the little whiteboard pointing it out.
Sure.
You know who else I'd like to have on the field when I'm going to go six offensive linemen and try to run the ball?
Who's that?
Logan Mankins.
Well. Logan Mankins ain't walking through that door.
And if he is, says a Buccaneer.
He's going to be limping.
Right.
Tim Wright's still looking for the final pass of the day from Brady.
Right.
He thinks he's open.
So the offense, look, you know, we're not whistling past the graveyard. We're calling it like it is. It needs some work here.
There's concerns.
Defense, though, it showed signs of what we hoped it would be. I have to admit that first driver was like, uh-oh. Because if that was not the worst communication ever in the history of coverage, that was it. I mean, guys were doing crossing patterns, and no one knew who to pick up who.
Right.
They were just running wide open.
That was one of the worst drives that I've seen.
Oh,
ever,
my God.
Period. You know,
that was like,
anybody can let up a big play. You know, like Josh Gordon cuts across the field and goes 75 last year. It can happen. That's one physical play.
It's
one breakdown. There were, like you said, Freddie, there were three or four breakdowns on, like, all six out of seven plays or whatever. I mean, they didn't play any of those plays well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one play. It was 20 yards, 25 yards, 24 yards. It was
ridiculous. That's what happens when a guy has nobody within 20 yards.
And after that drive, I was really buying into this whole Norv Turner thing, but they corrected it.
I wish I could have seen you after that drive.
they turned it around and really just shut them down. Castle made some mistakes in Minnesota shut themselves down at times as well. But over 25% of the times Castle attempted a pass, he was either sacked or intercepted. I'm not talking about the hits and the hurries and all that. Sacked or intercepted over 25% of his attempts. I mean, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. You know? It's or pretty bad.
They were pretty bad.
You know, we talked about it.
It's almost like they lost their best player like 2 days before the game.
You know, and
almost.
And I, you know, I.
But he's back.
And then cut him back one day.
But he's
day
back
after.
The next
well,
day.
We'll get into that later. But,
stunner.
You know, and I know that you in Bill's, phone conference asked him about the versatility of Hightower and Jones. And, you know, hopefully we're starting to see that. You know, we're starting to see Hightower be used the way that maximizes his abilities. I think Mayo, I know you're not a big Mayo fan, but I think Mayo is, you know, the stabilizing force out there, and he's starting to, you know, look a little bit more aggressive in how he's being used. Jones, I think, is starting to get the hang of it, and using instincts are coming into play a little bit more, and that allows you to use your athleticism.
This week, they moved Chandler out of a role that he didn't seem suited for last week, and I don't know if they would still say that they screwed up on opening day or if they would still have the same game plan and put Chandler at defensive end in the 3-5. I don't know, but he was in a position standing on 2 feet for the most part, athletically on the edge where he can take advantage, I think, of his skills. He has power, not enough power to just be beat up on by a tackle all day.
Yeah.
I don't think he has an elite edge rush. I think his combination of speed and power is where he succeeds. But he doesn't have enough power. You know, he's sort of like the mismatch. You know, we got a mismatch with this guy
He's not Reggie White, as a tight end. Bruce Smith.
Right. But but just because a guy's a good tight end, you can't move him to receiver necessarily. You know, the skills, all of a sudden, that's a different position, and his skill set doesn't translate as well as it does in that specific role. We saw that. We talked about it post-game. Hightower going forward and going. The more Hightower is toward the ball and toward the line of scrimmage, he's better. The further you get him in either direction, back from the line of scrimmage or outside of the ball, I feel like he starts to, okay, he's not quite as quick. He's not quite as fast. Now he can get exposed by little guys. So I'm hoping, and the Mayo thing, we've seen that all summer. Clearly they've decided inside linebacker blitzes and specifically Jerod Mayo are going to be a part of this offense. I mean, this defense. We saw it all summer. They were practicing it and it has worked pretty well. They've gotten some opportunities where when he had the run blitz this week, but when he's moving forward a little bit in that Brandon Spikes role, he's been able to make some plays.
What would you call what they were at times? It seemed like they were almost in a 2-5.
Well,
you know,
I mean, that's what a 3-4 is. A 3-4 defense was originally called a 50. You know, you had five guys on the line of scrimmage. You have the odd man defensive lineman, but the two outside linebackers guys are rolled up. So the 3-4 was kind of a 50 front. A lot of teams called it a 50 front. And it is only two linebackers off the line, as Bill likes to say, and you have five on the line. So I still think it's an offshoot of a 3-4 front for what this team, but they were bouncing around. They had 4-3 fronts.
Right.
They had guys, you know, you didn't have a true nose over the center at times.
Yep.
They moved different things around. And I think that's what we've talked about, isn't it? We've talked about easily Hightower, Jones, Mayo, Collins wasn't out there, but you have unique skill set. You know, even Wilfork is a guy who's played end and tackle here, 3-4 end, nose tackle, defensive tackle. I think this, when they're at their best, and I don't know how long it takes before they know what they want to do, I think that versatility of that seven-man group, however you want to concoct it, 3-4, 4-3, 5-2, whatever you want to call it, that versatility of that seven-man group can be the strength of this defense and can be tough to work against.
And if you look at, I think Wilfork had a pretty good game in the middle there, but again, we didn't really see the test we were hoping to see with Peterson.
So he didn't. He said it. He flat out said he was looking forward to bouncing back against a real test, and he didn't get that chance.
Right. They almost sounded disappointed.
Yeah,
some of those guys. I think Mayo had something like that to say too. Vince was, you know, flat out said it.
Right.
I think he used the word disappointed that they didn't get a chance to go against Peterson and see if they fixed this.
Right. And you know, and if the offense was playing the way we hope it should play, I mean, they should have had 40, 50 points. I mean, that should have been even more of a blowout
The Patriots' average field position in that game, I believe, was their 42.
Yeah.
Not counting the one that took over on the 1 yard line.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't really score a lot of points out of that.
Well, no. I mean, you got two touchdowns off an interception return and a blocked kick 16, return.
Right. They got 16 points with an average field position of the 42.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
So they weren't, you know, I saw a lot of criticism of Brady for his comportment in
Why?
The postgame.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either.
They won big. They won 30-7. It's a team game. He's Mr. Team. Why is he so pissy? Because he's realistic and he understands.
He sees a problem.
15 penalties and 16 points aren't going to win a lot of games. And he knows
that's a good line right there. That's a good, solid Paul Perillo hot take line. One sentence.
Yeah.
16 points and 15 penalties, not going to win a lot of games.
Who would have ever thought that we'd be facing the Oakland Raiders?
Thanks, Andy.
And the Oakland Raiders would have, like, three times as less yards against them in penalties than the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. We lead the NFL in a stat I didn't really acknowledge until yesterday, but
penalty differential.
Penalty yard differential. I was clicking around on Jesus and was like, geez, Did a double Jesus. We blow the league away. Us and the Jets.
By the way, Jesus is G-S-I-S for those who don't know what Andy's talking
about.
Yes,
game system, information system.
Right.
But we, I mean, it's known as Jesus.
Game statistics.
Oh. It's statistic information system, right?
Oh, whatever. Something. Yeah. Jesus. But, you know, the Jets, you know, that Rex Ryan team that we mock, they have the second closest, and it's like 40-something yards away. Plus, we're the only two teams that are minus 100 or more.
Both in the AFC East.
We're just checking the boundaries of what the refs are going to call.
You can say that as many times as you want.
Yeah.
Why are we checking it in everything? If we had 15...
Well, you have to check it. You can't leave any stone unturned.
These games have been...
Do they have new points of emphasis in, like, false starts?
Yes.
The games...
They actually do with the centers, I guess.
They've really been... tough to watch the games. Hey, I'm not just talking about the Patriots games. I mean, all the games. It's just ridiculous. Third down is a penalty.
Did I miss completely Stork coming in the game?
Yes.
Yeah, evidently.
Well, how many plays? I don't know. Did you know Stork played?
No.
Okay, then you missed completely Stork coming in the game.
No.
I could tell you how many plays he played. He came in, I think, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. Only 11 plays.
I stopped watching that.
Well, but only 11 plays is what, out of how many? 67?
Yeah, 17%, according to... the game book again, Jesus.
He got, for those of you that believe he is the future starting center, he got mop-up duty as a center. Much like those of you that believe Jimmy Garoppolo could have been put in to get mop-up duty, he got it. That's mop-up duty. That's get your feet wet time.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, you think Jimmy Garoppolo should have played, Fred?
No.
Oh.
What I wanted to
I do.
I called for it in the, I said in the third and fourth quarter, I want Brady to work on this passing game. I don't care what the score is. I want him to... Take Edelman off the field.
That's not wise.
Don't take Brady off the field. Take Edelman off the field and make him pass to everybody else.
Which is the equivalent of tying one hand behind his back.
I don't care.
I get your point, but I don't want Brady out there throwing the ball around with a 30-7 lead.
Listen, we got work to do. I don't care what the other teams do.
See, that's why I'm not a huge detractor of the reps for the backup quarterback. Because I don't think that there's a lot to be gained
right,
with that.
Right, there isn't. He's going to hand the ball off.
Now, I would rather, for a guy like Garoppolo who has no experience, I wouldn't mind getting him out there in a game like Sunday. But I don't think you gain a ton from that. Brady, I don't think you gain anything from. If he can continue to throw when the other team's clearly not, their heart's not in it anymore.
But at least they can make sure that the guys are running the right routes and not rounding them out and being in the right place where they're supposed to be.
But it still comes down to Brady. Like, you'd literally have to say, okay, Tom, normally we'd put Garoppolo in, but what I want you to do is throw to the guys you wouldn't usually throw to.
Yes.
Like, you almost have to voice.
Yes!
Well, that's why he wants
and
to put Edelman on the
side. And if you're going to voice it, then there's a problem. That should be voiced in.
Don't you think that this stuff is being talked about? Come on.
To Tom Brady, I don't know that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know that it exists. Look, this could be a formula.
Right now, something. I don't know when film study is yesterday, but you know, whenever they looked at the film, I would expect Brady looking at Josh McDaniel and say, see, this route called for him to be here, and that's why that ball landed to no one. I expect that's happening. If it's not, then why even look at film?
But now you're crossing over, and Christian Fourier has been very vocal about this on MFB. On WEEI. It's a lot of acronyms. He says it's not the play. It's not, people say that too much. It's the Brady adjustment. It's the specific Tom Bradyism.
Okay.
And that's not in the book.
Whatever.
That's not on the little thing that says go down to here and cut out at 7 yards.
But the film doesn't lie. The eye in the sky doesn't lie.
Yeah, but it can.
And so
it can be
Brady,
blurry.
Brady's looking at the film. Everybody's in the room. And he said, here's the adjustment I made. That adjustment calls for this player to be here. And you see, he wasn't there.
Now, is he doing this just with Josh or is he calling out the receiver too?
Calling him out.
Wow.
It's got to happen. These people have to learn.
I started with, are we overanalyzing this? And you said, yes.
Well,
how do you know? We're assuming it's fact that Brady is blacklisting guys and not throwing to guys and disinterested in certain guys. We don't know that to be fact.
I saw a play. I don't know if it was the third quarter or maybe the start of the fourth quarter.
Was Stork the center?
No, it probably was earlier than the fourth quarter.
Because I'm questioning whether he saw the play.
Because Brady was still throwing the ball. He drops back. Minimal pressure, and the ball lands like to no one. And
that was Greg Gumbel's
line
the week before.
To no one in particular.
But it happened again in this game.
Maybe Brady's not as good as he once was.
No.
Oh no, couldn't say that, Paul.
But you see how fast
Eric's not here. We can't. Talk
but do you
about
see
that.
How fast it comes out of his mouth? Like that can't possibly be even a sliver of part of it.
But it's not
the
like
the passing game is struggling. It couldn't have anything at all to do with the guy passing.
What you do then questioning is his mental faculties because it had nothing to do with physical. I mean, the ball got out in time.
Losing it quicker, Mike right. Ditka or
so
Tom Brady?
I refuse to believe that, you know, Brady's losing his mind. You know?
I didn't say he was losing his mind.
But that would be the reason that that play didn't work, the one I'm describing. It's nothing to do with, oh, he can't, you know, less mobile or, you know, arm strength or any of that stuff. It had nothing to do with
but
that.
But that's one particular play. I'm talking about the struggles
right.
of the passing
I'm
game
talking
over
about
two games.
That one particular play.
And we can't
he's yelling
we,
at you.
And we can't comment specifically on that because we don't know what the particular play was that you're talking about.
Nor does Fred, really.
I remember it clearly. It was probably from their 30-yard line.
Paul, look it up. 30-yard line, fourth quarter.
Well, they only threw
no,
the
no,
ball.
It wasn't fourth quarter. It's probably
they only threw the ball once in the fourth
yeah,
quarter.
Yeah, it wasn't the
well, they attempted two. He got sacked once, and he threw an incomplete pass.
And Tim Wright's still looking for
it. Oh, three, because
Was that the last play?
The last play was to him, wasn't it?
I thought it was.
Yeah, I didn't. I just assumed they ran the clock out on that drive, but you're right. I think they did
yeah,
throw the
short
ball
left, once. Tim Wright. Tim Wright hasn't realized yet that it was thrown.
So he was he did throw the ball a few times in that last drive, so he had a handful of passes.
So one, third quarter, from whose 30? The Patriots' 30?
No, from their 30,
two,
from the Minnesota 30.
Three.
Around there, around that area.
Four.
Tom Brady pass incomplete, short left, Dobson.
Could be. Short left.
Yeah,
Tom Brady passed short left to Rob Gronkowski.
They threw the ball a handful of times in the fourth.
Was it out of the gun or not?
I can't remember.
Well, you seem to have a very particular memory here.
I just remember the ball landing in green turf with not a person around it. And it was in the middle of the field.
It's a story of Brady.
It wasn't like on the sideline.
Well, that's kind of my point. Like that's
and just it doesn't mean he has Alzheimer's because you think he but he could be fixating on the rush more. He could be worrying about adjustments that he doesn't need to worry. You know, it's not just he has Alzheimer's and he's lost it. You know, he's just out there. But a lot happens within like a 2 second count.
I know. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
So what is the overall, I know you like to be sort of the voice of where we should be. What is the overall temperature right now of Patriots Nation? Happy, concern? Are you Brady? Are you, was Brady too dour? Should be happier than that? Are we woohoo like the people on the post game show? Where are we?
I think it's, I think they're relieved, you know, that they won this game and rebounded, but I think they're with Brady. I think that, you know.
I agree. I think they should be.
The fans that are paying attention are like Paul said, this isn't going to cut it. When we get to the meat of the schedule.
Right. When the other team doesn't lose their best player 2 days
before the game.
You know,
they'll probably beat the Raiders. They should, right?
Yeah. You better eliminate probably or the sky is falling. I don't care whether you won one in Minnesota or not.
I mean, that's one bad team.
Yeah.
You know, so.
If you lose your home opener to the Oakland Raiders, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Bad.
Do you see the one guy?
He'll say, cover for PFW, Paul. Patriots lose.
I don't know the name of the receiver for the Raiders. He catches the ball on the sideline, fumbles.
James Jones.
James bounces,
Jones.
Picks it up, runs another 20 yards, fumbles
again. It was during the post-game show that play was on, and they always make fun of me for watching the games, but I was like, you know, you guys got to see this play.
You have a transvaginal mesh warning?
All right.
Some of these commercials, these law firms that fill out, what is going on?
Well, there's a lot of people out there. Have problems. They need a lawyer.
With transvaginal mesh?
Sure.
Like, that's such a big group that you're going to just do blanket marketing to them, trying to get some of them to call?
I guess.
Yeah, let's just say, for argument's sake, you reached your target goal of 100% of those people. What does that translate
Seriously.
To?
I got to think, if you have problems with your transvaginal mesh, you've already been looking into it.
And I'm certainly not watching commercials
right.
to see what I'm going to do about it.
Oh, now I know what I should do. I was content
Here's
with my transvaginal mesh.
He's under a lot of heat.
Rob Ryan.
Just because he's yelling at Peyton on the sideline. They're yelling back and forth at each other.
Oh, boy.
Everything's falling down. Yeah. Just everybody. A lot of
playoff teams starting 0-2. Saints, Colts.
It's a lot of pressure in the NFL.
And a lot of teams that are 2-0 that you go, they're not going to be undefeated for long.
Like
the Bills. Yes. You know, the team that was fighting on the practice field but now seems to have put it all together in September.
All right, let's get to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline. The other Dave is in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'm going to rapid fire some things. First, I just thank you guys for, like, all your coverage, pre-game, post-game analysis, just everything. I mean, you guys are absolutely, like, the heart of the team and, like, the organization. So just thank you guys for everything with that.
Mark tape.
Thank you, Dave.
Let's just hope they don't go for a transplant.
And number two is happy 200 for Bill. Big milestone, head coach. Number three is, do you think they, in some ways, should take, like, a deeper look at Tim Wright? Obviously, like, last, like, play of the game and on that drive. But, I mean, like, maybe if Amendola's having a tough time, you know, putting in a target that's a little taller, giving him a little bit more experience with Brady.
Well, look, I think they want to use Tim Wright, but right now it's baby steps because, as you saw, he's having trouble lining up, at least on that one play. It's going to take some time before Tim Wright can be a, you know, not a go-to, but a relied-on target for Brady.
And are we ready to pull the plug on Amendola?
I'm not.
Because I think some people are.
I haven't seen it. I mean, unless he is just running in the wrong direction, I don't know what the problem is.
Oh, I don't know the problem
when
either.
When they throw the ball to him, he catches it. Isn't that what's supposed
well,
to
Bill,
happen?
Bill likes to say, I like two things, get
right.
open and catch the
right.
ball.
Right, so... I don't know what the problem is. I would love
I mean,
to
I haven't seen him drop any, but I wouldn't say when they throw the ball, he catches it. He was targeted once the other day. He didn't catch it. He was targeted once the day before, five times the game before. He caught two of them.
He was really targeted so twice. He caught it.
Okay, so one for two. Right. So I mean,
what was the incompletion? I don't know.
I don't know.
Did he drop it?
Right. I started the whole thing.
Or did Brady throw
right.
one toward him?
Are we seeing Amendola drop balls?
But when they throw it to
not since the AFC title game have I thought about that.
But to say that when they throw it to him, he catches it isn't really accurate. When they threw it to LaFell, he didn't catch it either. I don't remember him dropping any, but he was 0 for 6.
Okay. So I mean, there could be times where like I said, there could be times where he's just not in the right place. You know, and Brady's timing is off because he's not running the right route. But I don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be something, right? Your $30 million quarter wide receiver is not, you know, he's earning like, you know, $5 million per catch.
it seems like there is beginning to be a groundswell of it's done. The Amendola thing is done.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not on that groundswell yet.
But is Tom Brady?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And who's next in line? You know, we debated this last week. I defended Amendola. You know, you sort of said Dobson. You know, this is a second round pick. Okay. Well, this is a $30 million receiver that you thought was going to be something.
Well, when they signed him, I don't think they realized that Edelman was going to
no question.
You know, do what he did. And
no
I
question.
Think if they knew that, they probably would have gone with a different type of receiver.
I pretty much agree with that. That said, I don't understand just because they're similar, you can't. You are supposed
and
to be
I
creative
agree with
offensive
you. I
lines.
Agree with you.
Take your best 11, put them on the field, and show me a passing game. If he's not among your best 11, okay, different argument.
When they signed Amendola, one of the things in the comparison to Welker was that he was a little bit more versatile, could do a little bit more than Welker could do. So I'm with you.
Or Edelman. I'm of the
if
belief
you don't want
now,
to duplicate
Edelman.
What Edelman does, have him do something else.
I just, are they... It's almost like some people, well, they're too similar, so get him off the field and put Wright in there, because Wright is a slot receiver with size. Huh. Okay,
who doesn't
well,
know
does
the
that
playbook?
Work? And may not be good, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not
well,
willing
to
say. Well,
that's first and foremost. I mean, who knows if he can even play?
Right.
Undrafted guy, I mean, who was going to get cut.
But I think we are coming to a crossroads here for Danny Amendola. What is he ever going to be for a Patriot? Is he a guy you keep investing in? Do you convince Brady to invest in? Or do you say he's a backup to Julian Edelman, and when he'll play is if Edelman gets hurt. Otherwise, he's a backup.
Well, they've got him out there.
I know.
But how many reps did Amendola have, Paul? You've got that in front of
you. I have the sheet here. He had 18 snaps.
That's it,
day.
Amendola? Yep. Oh, then you're right. I take that back.
Well, they ran the ball the whole day. That's why.
True.
Yeah, to have your blocking receiver, LaFell, on the field
exactly.
for 38 snaps.
LaFell was on for 36 snaps, 55%, because they ran the ball.
All right. Well, anything else, Dave?
My prediction before the season, before we got Revis, was 11-5. I think I'm sticking with that. I think we're going to be a good team, obviously, just slightly behind the Broncos in terms of the final ranking. Probably have to go to Denver again, but I predict a whole different game. I think Wes Welker will be a non-factor. He's just going to be out because he's going to get another concussion. He's not going to be on the field.
He was a non-factor last year, too.
Tough, road getting through, you know, some tough NFC teams, Seattle, Niners. They're going to beat up on the Broncos a little bit, do us a little bit of favor. And we're going to squeak out and make it to another Super Bowl.
Woo! Okay, at 11-5. All right, Dave. I hope you're right.
I don't really care about Welker's health at this point. How about his replacement's health? I don't think Julian Edelman's going to make it through the year if he's asked to do that. Hey, I thought he got up slow three times on Sunday, head, something else, groin, nuts.
He's appeared to be injured several times already this season.
And I don't fault him for it.
He keeps coming back.
Right.
You know, if we know he's the only target, then the other team knows he's the only target.
Right.
And he just...
That's why he disappears in the second half.
Could be.
It might be.
Yeah. Or
they might have something
to do away, but I just... It was such a positive story, an aberration, and I don't care how many videos he does on the internet praising how he, you know, proved everybody wrong. He will get hurt if he is going to be the focal point like that yet again this year. He won't make it. And if he doesn't make it, then you just...
Yeah, but remember, though, he's doing the TB12 method now.
You need Gronk back. You need Gronk back.
Yep.
Yeah, you can mock me, but right now you have Rob Gronkowski, but you don't have Gronk.
Mm. Yes, we will mock you.
Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian. Mm.
Hey guys, getting back to what Andy said about how does Patriots Nation feel? They feel pretty good. They went out and they beat a team that they were supposed to beat and really destroy, and they destroyed them.
Yeah, I don't know if they destroyed them.
Well, you know, just sort of getting back now on the flip side to the offense part. You're concerned. I mean, this team needs playmakers. They need to develop the Aaron Dobsons and the, you know, Kembrel Tompkins. I mean, LaFell and Amendola, they're vets. And if they don't get it, you know, they don't get it at this point. I mean, it's week two. You had mini camps. You had training camps. LaFell showed some signs. Amendola looked great last year in training camp and then the first game against Buffalo before he got injured. But... you know, for whatever reason, Brady is looking his way. I don't know, but he's clearly not looking his way. The Dobson thing kind of bothered me that you guys mentioned. First pass, bang. And then after that, one more. That was it.
I know.
Brady's frustrated because, yeah, he knows that that's not going to cut it. And, you know, right now, listen, the one thing you take away from Sunday is, you know, Chandler Jones, Andy, finally had that game we wanted him to have.
Yep.
Right? He dominated the game. And Dont'a Hightower looked really good coming off the edge because he got some pretty good hits last week in Miami because he had some bad plays. But, you know, he got in there a little bit against Miami. So those two guys, they look pretty good. But the offense has to continue going forward. My question on the other side of the ball, because I've just been hopping on this since really mini camps, what do you think of the safety play next to McCourty so far, and how come Doron Harmon is seeing such a limited amount of snaps?
Paul. Oh, Paul's got a mouthful of brownie. I have no idea why Doron Harmon, as I said, ever since he became the presumed starter in the spring, his reps went down every time we saw him. There were other guys getting mixed in. I don't know what he did from having a great spring until now that sort of made his role shrink.
And what I don't get is the whole committee approach to safety. I didn't know that was necessarily a position that you'd want to do like that. But Chung, 35 plays. Harmon, 27. Nate Ebner, 14, which is
mostly shocking. In the dime.
Yeah. That's too many.
And that's a role that he and that, I do need to apologize a little bit. I was yelling at some guy on the postgame show the other night. Ebner has been less of a glaring problem in that money role in the dime package. A lot of his failures as a safety come when he's an actual safety, when it's either nickel or base defense. And I'm talking mainly about the practice
preseason
field.
Yeah,
that's when he struggles, you know, getting late over the top or the various things you need to do at safety.
He's really serving as an extra linebacker.
Right. In that money role, that's, you know, Tavon Wilson.
Wilson had 11 snaps, but that's four guys that had double-digit snap totals next to McCourty, who played, I assume, most of them, if not all.
And ideally, even if you're doing what we're talking about, you'd have two. You'd have a base safety on some level, and then maybe the money guy, whoever that money guy is, the bigger guys, Wilson, Ebner, the bigger, stiffer, a little meatier guys. I just think they don't have any idea what they have there.
They don't. And every game, there's something that happens that leads you to believe why they're confused. You know,
yeah.
There was that play that Patterson had that he really twisted Logan Ryan around.
And Doron Harmon.
And then
don't give him the...
No. I'm coming to the safeties.
Oh, okay.
Doron Harmon looked terrible on that play.
Yeah.
So you can understand why they're not just willing to say, well, he's our guy. We're going to go with him. They make enough mistakes from week to week to say, we don't have a guy. We got to mix and match because we don't have a guy.
And that first drive, Chung started the game, I think.
Yeah, Hung, yeah. Chung plays most of it. Right. Not Hung. Yeah. Not Hung. Not William Hung. Patty Chung.
You know, and that first drive was just awful.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Deontay was, Skinner.
Yeah, you know, Andy, you said you would have liked to have seen Fred after that first drive. No, you would have liked to have seen me because it was Belichick can't coach anymore. He can't run defense. The plays everybody got sucks.
Oh, it was funny. I don't know, Christian, I don't know if you were on the blog, but there was a guy after that first drive or maybe the second, you know, he said, I'm going out for a motorcycle ride. Screw this. So I posted that, and boy, did that guy get, you know, killed at the end of the game.
Yes, he should.
Sure. Yeah. He should have. And just want to say, love the Jets, being the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Christian. Let's go to Chris in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you been?
Good.
Hey, how about we still have a lot of things to work on, and we beat them 30-7.
Right.
We still have a lot of things to learn, and, you know, I'm happy with the team where he's at. I don't want them to pick right now. I want them to pick at the end of the season. I want them to go to the playoffs hot. Right now, what do we do winning? We're playing really bad teams right now, so let them grow, let them get better, and I think at the end of the season is when we need them.
Okay, Chris, I'm right with you. You want to peak at the end of the season, but, you know, right now we have
to grow.
Let me ask you this question, Chris. Knowing what's going on with the offense, are you confident that they'll be able to fix what you see?
Definitely.
Okay, and how will that fix come? What do you envision?
I feel like I didn't see that much snow huddle. I don't feel they're ready to do that, but I feel like these guys are capable of catching the ball. Once they able to catch that good game, I feel like we need to win, have a really good game on offense so we can grow on that game. And I feel that's going to be against Denver.
Okay.
So I feel like Amendola is going to become a big factor in this offense.
You do. I hope so. I mean,
I think he's really fast.
Don't you think he has to? In order for this offense to be what we hope it can, doesn't Amendola have to? No. Who picks up? Who's the number?
Dobson, your guy can be a guy, a second year player
Chris.
Who you saw signs of hope from as a rookie that you hoped have a year two jump. I mean, you argued it on TV. You're right. Dobson is the guy that if you Dobson, Amendola, Gronkowski, you need to get Gronk back. Is a part of this.
You need
but
to. Gronk
I think
being
Dobson
Gronk,
can
right.
be the third.
Yeah.
I certainly think Dobson can be the third.
Okay. I think you got to have Amendola too.
Why?
I think he needs four targets.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. I think you'll get some contributions from Vereen.
You know, once you get into the four reliable targets, then the defenses have real
there
trouble.
Are plenty of great defense offenses that don't get four deep and they're reliable. I don't know what your definition of reliability is, but if you can get those three guys so that they are consistent, productive, getting open, catching the football, Brady trusts them, gives them a chance to make plays, all that, you'll be fine.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I like y'all analogies. And Andy, I agree with you too. But, you know, I'm a big TB12 fan. I mean, a very big one. But I'm getting to agree with Andy a little bit. Because you're going to have to trust somebody sometime. Because Elvin ain't going to always be there. And Grunk ain't Grunk yet, you know. So you're going to have to give somebody a chance, you know. But Brandon LaFell, I will give him a plug nickel.
A what?
A plug nickel.
Oh. What does that mean?
Of a chance.
A fake nickel?
A fake nickel, yeah. It's a plug. It's
because
blank.
Yeah.
In the past, like I said, I see him all the time. He do some catches, but when it comes down to the most catches you need to keep the drive going, he drops. He's not reliable.
Brady might agree with you. He might not give him a plug nickel either, because we're two games in here and he's got zero catches. This week, zero targets.
Zero targets. But like I said, $39 million. You got to do something, but to me, that was a waste anyway. That was a waste anyway.
Nah, you were definitely in that camp when they signed him.
And 2 weeks in, you're looking what they call right.
You're looking right.
But the offense do worry me, man. I mean, Brady going to have to throw that ball around because if he gets hit too many times, he's going to be out. Let alone Julian, he's going to be out. I said they hold the ball and nobody in the right spot.
I do worry about that, by the way.
I worry about that a lot, man.
The Brady hits.
What's the next up game coming up?
They did a better job of protecting him, but they also did that by
right.
completely changing the
Max
game plan.
Protection. Right.
Yeah. Max protection, only 25 passes, and I thought that he got hit on a fair amount of them. The touchdown throw, he got belted.
That's his problem.
Belted on that touchdown throw.
I don't care how many they're rushing. If you're only going to throw to, like, two people, you should be able to see quickly enough whether those two people are open or not.
Hmm. Well, see, that's why he got...
We're not going five deep on our reads here.
Maybe it's 5 years later, Fred.
Yeah.
No, but if Fred is right... and he is blackballing people and not looking at people, and there are some issues there, well, then it really doesn't take quite as long to see Gronk Edelman in that order, or Edelman Gronk. It doesn't take that long. Get rid of it.
Then we get all funky every once in a while and throw one to Vereen.
No, definitely.
But I'm proud of Ridley, though. I'm glad.
Yeah, I am, too. I feel I'm good for him. Good for him.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day now.
All right,
you
thanks, too. Aldridge.
That was very polite. Take off. But don't you – I mean, I know this is mean. You're just waiting. You're just waiting for the fumble.
Absolutely.
Just waiting.
That's his MO, and it's up to him to change that.
And he's never done it that frequently. He's always had stretches where right. he'll look good. You know, he's one of the FedEx ground players of the week this week.
Look,
that's
great. If he goes the whole season without fumbling, and then in week 16 he fumbles, baby, there you go. You see?
Right, right.
He's never going to lose that.
Nope.
You know, so.
He has the scarlet F on his chest.
Right. But hopefully, if that happens, they won't bench him. Because he did go the whole season without fumbling, and running backs fumble once in a while.
Well, it might depend how it comes, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, guys, who did I see the other day who had a horrific fumble and then got hurt?
Well, last night.
Matthews?
Oh, yeah, Ryan Matthews.
Right. Yeah.
Well, last night, what's his name?
Richardson.
Fumbled twice. Trent Richardson.
Oh, he fumbled twice in that game?
Yeah.
He finally had a decent game running-wise.
Well, one was recovered
twice.
By.
No, he still fumbled.
Yeah, he fumbled it twice.
I don't understand him. I just don't understand.
I thought
because I saw that he had
he does, and he looks fat when he wears his helmet.
Yeah.
His cheeks like push out from the. He looks fat.
He's the kind of guy I love that makeup for a running back. If you're fast,
well, he was a game breaker at Alabama. He was fast.
Yeah.
Remember, he used to run down the sideline, stop, let a guy run by, accelerate it. Like he
I
was
didn't
a
see any of the game. I just saw that he finally had some yards.
Yeah, he had a couple flashes
a couple.
Last 79 night.
79 yards for him. I mean,
just,
that's a huge.
Maybe
game.
It's because the speed of the NFL is so much faster than college, and
I don't know
the comparison, but. He just doesn't look fast enough.
I blew that pick,
you know?
Just like them.
Yeah, I liked him too. Not as much as you did, but
I liked
loved
him. I thought he was going to be a superstar.
He
single-handedly set the running back draft position
better.
Back.
He's not going to be a superstar.
He did better, though, last
No, you don't have year five superstar jumps.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Right. He could become a viable back, especially on that team. With, you know,
right, and then he
by the way,
the
I don't know how the Colts lost that game. They screwed that game up somehow. You know?
I heard there was a missed call. That led to the interception that gave Philadelphia the ball?
Well, they called a horse collar on the Colts, which...
Now, that
guy,
was after that.
The guy
though.
Clearly had his shirt, but I think that would have ended that drive or would have made it, you know, third and really long. Or
but I
it
heard,
was a terrible call, and it led to a touchdown.
They were up seven. The Colts were up seven, and Indy was driving, and Luck threw an interception on a play that, according to the AP report that I read this morning in my paper, there was a penalty.
Been an interference. The announcer said, I watched the whole game. The announcer said it should have been a – the guy kind of stumbled, and, like, you saw the other guy's arm out. It was questionable
the announcer
whether
said it should have been a penalty.
Oh,
I can only imagine how bad it was.
Oh, yeah.
They never say that.
The announcer's because the guy fell down. But, you know, I thought the more egregious call was against the Colts defense when they called the horse collar.
They mentioned that, too. LaRon Landry, it was a big play for either a sack or a tackle in the backfield.
Right,
for a
that
loss.
Would have pretty much ended that drive. And it gave him a second life, and they
ended
up scoring a touchdown.
I hate the horse collar rule.
But it wasn't even
I've never understood it.
It was clear that he had his shirt.
I've just never understood the rule. I just
well,
never
if your arm goes, if your hand goes
no, no, no,
inside,
no, no, no.
There.
Let me rephrase. Okay. I understand the rule. I've never understood why that.
It's a safety thing.
Yeah, then don't play football.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Because Roy Williams broke a guy's leg once doing that. All of a sudden, we have to have a rule. It's stupid. Nope. You can get hurt doing a ton of different things on the football field. I'm sorry. Then get rid of all of them.
Okay.
If I cut a guy, he can get hurt. Right. So let's get rid of all cut blocks, although I should pause because it sounds like they're going down that road potentially of getting rid of all cut blocks.
Right.
By the way, if we're going to rant about the officials again, I got into a little fight with Daxton Swanson the other night on Twitter because – do you know who that is, friend?
Yeah.
Really?
We cut him. He actually had a good fourth
game
preseason
was that?
Game.
What game was on Sunday night? What was the Sunday night football game that I watched?
I don't know.
Somebody speared again. You had a defensive end spear.
Oh yeah,
Philip Rivers.
That was the same play. Oh no! The Sunday night game, the Chicago. That was the San Francisco
Cutler.
Guy. That's the same
it's
thing
spearing.
That Upshaw did for Buffalo.
It's
for
called
Baltimore.
Spearing.
You can't hit a guy even in the chest with your helmet.
Right. When you lead with your helmet, it's called spearing. And immediately Daxton Swanson. I don't even. You can't
I don't
hit
even
him
know how to play
that
this game anymore.
Right. And you know me, I kind of usually fall on that side of that argument. You speared him. That's a rule where you're taught, as soon as you put on a football helmet, it's like the oldest rule in the book. This is not a weapon. You cannot spear. You cannot lead with your head, blah, 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 blah. You, just because you didn't hit him in the head, you put your, intentionally, by the way, because I watched the replay, he broke free and took like three steps to, he could line him up any way he wanted, and his decision to line him up was to lead with the top of his helmet right in his bleeping chest. And Daxon's going, oh, that's not what you do. So I had to, you know.
By the way, that's a safety thing for the hitter, too.
Right. Yes.
I mean, there's no easier way to compress your vertebrae than
exactly.
That kind of
Fred.
That was the,
believe me, I know.
That was the same play as the one against,
nobody's
Pittsburgh.
More compressed than Fred.
I got some
problems. Did you ever see the one? The Thursday night one?
No.
It was the same exact hit. The only difference is that Roethlisberger still had the ball. So it was actually a sack. But he buried him with the crown of his helmet right in the chest. And did you see Cutler after the game? He said, I felt like my breastplate was in my back.
Well, he immediately grabbed right for the spot. Like,
yeah.
And then he had to stay down for a while.
And then they ran the ball the next play, even though there was sort of in a two-minute drill.
Because he was
But
he
bounced back after that.
Wait, threw a touchdown. Yeah. Well, Brandon Marshall made a sick catch after that.
I'll tell you.
I can't believe San Francisco won that
those
game.
Those two, I mean, the Bears have some weapons.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
They have some of the best weapons.
Nothing gets by Fred. 2 1,500-yard receivers.
And a running back who's as versatile as any in the game.
Right.
Right.
You know?
And a guy who can sling it.
They have no defense.
You know, as long as you empty out the bar before he gets into the hotel.
But I went to bed when that game, it was the third quarter. I think it was 20-7, maybe. I think it was just about to go to the fourth quarter. I think it was still 20-7. And I went to bed, and I couldn't believe when I woke up the next morning and saw that they had lost that game.
Oh, and has anyone seen what Kaepernick said? Kaepernick got one of those, that new rule where you can be flagged
for bad words.
I heard about that, yeah.
But I want to know, like...
Well, the 49ers have asked for clarification because apparently they don't understand it either. So I don't know what the result is of their request.
No, I said...
Right.
Wag
I think
or
that's,
something
I
like.
Think that's ridiculous that you're fining guys for what they say on the field. I mean, penalizing guys for what they say on the field.
I do, too.
I think it's silly. Yeah. I mean,
unless they say it to the ref.
That's different. Yeah. Abusing the ref.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm talking about just talk.
Right.
Bad words on the field should not be resulting in penalties. I mean, you could make an argument. Andy's going off on the safety stuff, the horse collar. At least I understand why they're doing that. They're trying to keep the players as safe as they can.
I think in a violent sport.
I think they're taking it too far in a violent sport. I agree with you on most of your rants. But I don't get. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not a kinder, gentler place, the football field. You can't legislate that out. I don't get what they try to do sometimes.
And yet, if you beat your kid, you can play.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't say a potty word on the field.
Not against the Patriots.
Right. Play the next week.
Well,
Fred, I mean, he was suspended on Friday and activated on Monday. I mean,
if they had won the game, he wouldn't have been activated.
But what really sucks is and I know that you don't care about this sort of thing, Fred. All you care about is the W, and that's all you should care about. As a Patriots fan,
you know. You know how I know that? I read PFW's cover.
You only get to see those teams every 4 years, right? that's what stinks to me is if it'd be one thing if okay it was you know. Like when Peyton Manning was hurt, it sucked when we played the Colts that year and Peyton Manning didn't play. But we play Peyton Manning every year.
Right.
You play Adrian Peterson once every 4 years and he gets indicted 2 days before the game for something that happened in May. I mean, at least if you had known he was going to miss the game the whole time, you would never have thought, oh, this is pretty cool.
Adrian Peterson,
best running back.
I don't care. He's indicted. That can happen. Whatever. The fact that he comes back the Monday, he's activated and back. If he missed the next 5 weeks because of this, I also don't understand and we're not going to get into a fight here, but I don't understand due diligence. Due diligence on what? He is not denying that he beat the living crap out of his kid. He just seems to think it's okay. If I'm the Vikings, I say, that's not okay. That's why you're not playing. There's no due diligence
due process.
No. Whatever, due process. So, wait.
But they're not trying to figure out what happened. They're trying to figure out if it was illegal.
So, you only care if you're the Vikings if somebody does something and is reprimanded by the legal system, right?
That's basically the argument.
If Aaron Hernandez gets off, then he's free to play again if you're the Vikings. Because even though everything so O.J. should be an ambassador for the Vikings.
But don't you think...
O.J. should be an ambassador for the Vikings,
right? But don't you think that...
So that's the message you're sending.
He wants answers.
Right.
He said right, but he's trying to answer...
He's saying that rhetorically.
Now, you don't think that if Aaron Hernandez gets found innocent...
No,
he would be eligible to come back. Now, I don't think he'll ever play again, But you don't think he'd be eligible to play?
I do not think he'd
play?
Be activated immediately.
He won't be activated.
He's not on a team, so he can't be.
And no one will sign him.
Okay.
But I don't think Goodell can keep him suspended.
This has nothing to do with Roger Goodell.
No, I'm just
saying. This is the Minnesota Vikings. They chose to deactivate him, and they chose to reactivate him.
Listen, I think it's a silly decision. He would never play another
so
down
Radisson,
in, the,
by the way.
In the league for me.
They've pulled their sponsorship.
I saw,
yes.
I saw that.
It's because their name was right behind the idiocy that was being spewed.
Right. Let's go back to the phones.
That's a tough break right there. I didn't even, see, I just heard the stuff on the radio. I didn't even think of that.
But
that
visual, Radisson in the back.
That visual must have been all over ESPN yesterday, right?
Yep. Big Al is on the phone. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys. Checking in from Valdosta, Georgia, where, according to Charles Barkley, we spank our kids and slap our women on a regular basis.
Right, not just spank them, beat them bloody.
Right.
Because that's what he's saying happened down when he was
a
kid.
The kid had a bloody scrotum.
I got spanked. I don't remember getting flogged.
No.
You know?
No.
All I know is this, fellas. Being a Yankee transplant living here, they would rather have me rob three banks with an Uzi than slap a woman.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know about the kids part, but I'm pretty sure the women are in pretty good shape around here as far as being protected by the law. But anyways, as far as not being able to see Adrian Peterson, your culprit there is the first grand jury in Texas, which came back with no indictment the first time that DA brought that case before the grand jury.
Yes.
So I'd like to shake hands with the people that were in that first grand jury. What did they miss? I don't know. Maybe they got more evidence the second time or whatever, but that's why the delay from May to
and I don't know if it was the mother who pushed it or somebody else, but congratulations to anyone who didn't settle on, you know, and go with that finding and kept pushing.
Right.
You know, good for them.
Well, it just shows you that it may be hard to get a conviction, though, if that first grand jury wouldn't indict. Again, I don't know what kind of evidence they saw, but he's just going to do the basically the Alfred E. Newman defense, you know, what me worry, you know, of course I did it. Everybody does it. That's how I was raised. No problem, you know, nothing to see here.
Never wore a seatbelt when I was a kid. Right. That doesn't mean it's right.
But if Charles Barkley is on the jury, then he'll get off, right? If there's a bunch of Charles Barkleys, you're off.
You're right. You're right.
It only takes one or two Charles Barkleys. It doesn't take a whole 12 Charles Barkleys.
Exactly.
Well, this isn't reasonable doubt. But anyway, I get it.
But the bottom line is, if the lawyer, Rusty Harden, does a good job picking the jury pool, he could get off because
he
just gets a bunch of them on there.
That's right.
Well, he certainly did the deal for Clemens, so maybe he's on a hot streak.
There's a reason anyways, he makes a lot of money.
To answer your question, it was a great question before. And to answer it, yes, I would rather have Dante Scarnecchia back yesterday than either of the other two guys. Much as I like Mankins, I mean, Mankins, he's a great player. He just was overpaid. And Tony Gonzalez, I think, is finally done.
Yeah, but how do we know that?
Scarnecchia would be great.
How do we know Gonzalez is done?
I think he's done because he's tried to retire three or four times, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, but he also caught 80 passes last year.
Let's bring in another receiver that Brady won't throw to.
Oh, come on. You think he's going to blackball Tony Gonzalez?
Why not?
I mean, he's Tony Gonzalez. He's the greatest pass-catching tight end guy ever.
Well, then if he does that, then it's Brady because Gonzalez.
that would be the tipping point.
Yes, because Gonzalez has proven that he can catch passes in this league.
We don't need to bring in Jerry Rice in his prime and have Brady blackball him.
I'm not suggesting that there's anywhere close in talent, okay? Gonzalez is, as you like to call people, a transcendent player.
Transformational.
Transformational player. Yeah. Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer, top of the line. But Chad Ochocinco had a track record of catching passes in the National Football League, and Brady wouldn't even look at
it. I think the season, fellas, is going to depend on that offensive line. It's a work in progress. I wish we had Dante. What can you tell me about this new coach? It looked like he was a year off from coaching last year and didn't really coach anywhere, and now he's back with the Patriots. What can you tell me about the guy?
I mean, he thinks he's a good coach. The reason why he took the year off, from what I gather, was more contractual with the Jets. You know, there was something where he was still getting paid last year, and I'm not exactly, but it had to do with money. I know that.
It worries me, Al, just so you know. The other side, and Fred has told me that story before. But
he says it's so like just
no, not at all.
Story. It's like, you know, a fable that I've weaved.
No, that's not what I meant.
Have a tonality problem.
That's not what I meant.
It's like Rumpelstiltskin.
And you both know it. I just
the brothers Kirsch wrote that tale.
I think everything that Fred just said is true. But I think that's true of a million different guys that changed, that gets fired from one job to, from another, and they move on and they coach somewhere else the next year.
Usually
and someone, and if someone really wanted him, he'd have had a job last year.
The one good thing about him is
that
he
that's my feeling.
He is a career offensive lineman. Well, good or bad, I guess you can interpret. I mean, it's what he played at BU when he was in lunch line with Paul, and primarily his career has been as an offensive line coach and that type of thing. Now, that kind of flies in the face of the Belichick thing where they like you to dabble and move around and see different things.
True.
But he's been around the offensive line for a long time.
Well, it may have been options were limited by making it to the AFC championship game. I don't know, but we'll just see. But listen, big win for BC, I guess, Saturday night.
Heck yeah.
And if you weren't ready aware already, and you may be, so forgive me if I'm, you know, telling you something you already know, but not this fall, but next fall, BC and Notre Dame in Fenway Park.
Yes. I'm intrigued by that.
BC and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame will be the host team for that, actually.
Yeah,
they're the home team.
The Shamrock Series.
Well, they'll certainly have
Shamrock,
more fans.
Exactly.
Are you sure it's at Fenway?
We had this discussion before, you know, during the 09 50th anniversary year. Fenway Park is an outstanding place to see a football game. If you have time that weekend or whatever, I know you're busy with the ball club, but if you can sneak over there and catch that thing, you will not be disappointed. There are no bad seats in Fenway Park for football. I think even
how come there are so many bad ones for baseball?
Kind of ironic. Baseball stadium has terrible seats.
By the way, the Patriots used to play there.
Yes, we know.
I think that's what I was talking about.
Well, they did. I saw them play there several times. But you get out in that right field corner for baseball.
It's terrible.
You can get out far away from home plate in a hurry.
Right.
But in that right field corner for a football game, those are actually pretty good seats.
Well, plus it's like arena ball where, like, they could run right into your lap, basically, because the field barely fits.
It barely fits. The right field bullpen is one end zone, and then the third baseline, third base dugout would be your other end zone. And if they do it the way the Pats did it back in the day, they'll put temporary bleachers against the left field wall, and that gets you up around 45,000.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. And I'm thinking of going. I'm looking to maybe hit that up.
All right, thanks, Al. Okay.
The Shamrock Series.
Every once in a while, Andy just really surprises me with some of the random things that he's he takes
that he wants
in.
To do.
God forbid, I'd want to see Notre Dame at Fenway Park.
Why do you take that as me making fun of you?
Because you are.
I'm not making fun of you at all.
You seem to be mocking me.
That's something that I would do, and you would make fun of me for it.
No, you'd go see Northeastern BU some stupid little minor league facility.
But just like in a situation like this with a rarity where you have, you know, a team like Notre Dame in town, which doesn't happen all that often, but in Fenway Park, that's something that would definitely it's just not something I would think that you would be interested in.
I like football, Paul.
Here we go. Why don't you go there watch any of your Tufts games?
And
If they ever break the
suggestion there, Paul, is that you don't like football.
No, I know. But he has a lot of suggestions that he thinks he's better than both of us all the time.
No, that's not. You're thinking of Eric.
Paul in London writes in, men of PFW and Eric, first time I have emailed in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, where you been?
But I still listen week in, week out, and finally had a chance to contribute live again. Just 3 quick questions and points. Number one, is it possible for Eric to be any more irritable and snarky in his Ask PFW responses to people? Chill out, mate.
Yes, real life, he's more irritable and snarky.
Number two, I have Fred's back in the picks competition. He did boss everyone against the spread a few years back and ended up with 70% correct. I think that was last year.
No. He's saying you did it more than last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know about 70%. I know that. But you've won before.
And to football for 3, do you think that James White is going down the Shane Vereen route to playing time? Vereen's first legitimate touches were in garbage time in November of his debut season. The similarities are there between both players, as Vereen was behind Woodhead at the time for third downs. The 4 of you are doing it great as ever. Keep up the good work. Well, Vereen had a little injury in off season that slowed him down his first season.
Correct.
And we don't know anything from a health standpoint.
He's a healthy scratch by all. Now, that gets into Fred. For some reason, the guy who paid the price for people's emotions post game was Brandon Bolden. Oh. We were inundated with why is Brandon Bolden playing? Why is he even on the team? Which I didn't really understand in relation to the game. I agree with it. I would have cut him. I've been on that bandwagon for a long time.
Well, you better get another running back in if you're going to cut him.
No, we get James White.
Yeah.
Well, you have one that's inactive every week.
I know, but you right now you have four. And two, one is a backup of one, and James White is really the backup of Vereen, right?
Right.
So
unless you believe that White can be more than that.
Yeah.
Right. And you also
he didn't run well during the preseason.
Right.
But as a backup to Vereen,
Jonas Gray.
I mean, as a backup to Ridley, you have two guys, even though they're not, you know, the big 230-pound, 220-pound backs, they're asked to split backup carries. So I think you could be fine with Vereen and White behind Ridley. You don't need Bolden around. Well, why is that your answer to everything today?
I think that's when he's not really listening.
I think Bill Costa.
I think every year we say, oh, they got five running backs, and they always end up using all of them, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't make it. That doesn't mean that's good.
I just think that there's going to be injuries, inevitable injuries.
And fumbles.
You know, so, yeah.
And fumbles will be.
Whatever the reason is that somebody's not playing, it's going to happen.
You seeing the word out of Jacksonville? They're already calling Toby Gerhart the worst signing ever.
Is that right?
And I don't even know why. I haven't even looked at the stats to see.
Gerhart.
I mean, the team stinks, but.
Gerhart. Dan the Bye Man, always good to have a win. A few thoughts. One, our offense still struggles in the second half. Hope this is not a trend down the road. Two, Gronk's knee is still too weak to really be effective. Do you think it's going to be like this the rest of the career? Or will we see the true Gronk? And three, why did Ebner play in last game? We still don't have a strong safety. Why not trade for Charles Woodson? He still has some left in the tank playing safety. What do you guys think?
Is he available? Because I would take Charles Woodson.
I think he's out there, right? Isn't he out there?
He's not out there. He's on the Raiders.
He's on the Raiders. We play him this week.
Oh. Right.
Now, I'm sure.
But is he available? Is what I'm saying. Could you trade a fifth-round pick for him?
Everybody's available.
Sixth-round pick?
Paul.
I would do that, wouldn't you?
I don't know what he has left.
I don't think he has much left, but I don't think what you have is much.
Let's go to Jerry in California on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey,
whether
Jerry.
It's left or full or empty.
Good morning. It's been quite a while since I called in, but the reason I called in is I was really wondering why you guys are not discussing the biggest storyline from the Vikings game of last week.
James Devlin?
No. It's a bigger storyline than that. But before I get into that, I'm going to have to make a confession here.
Are my taxes done yet?
No. If I was confessing to be a wife beater or a child beater, I would feel bad about it, but it's even much, much worse than that. I have four daughters, and one of them is a Jets fan. But anyhow, she was in to visit this weekend, and I was explaining to her how Bill Belichick had got the Texas grand jury to indict Peterson in such a manner that he was deactivated for our game, but he would be back in plenty of time to play the Jets. For some reason, she didn't think that was very funny, but I thought it was great.
That's what Paul thinks, only he's not joking.
Well, I wasn't joking either.
I'm with you, Jerry. I mean, what's the joke part?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He was inactive for the Patriots. He'll be active moving forward.
That's right, and he'll have a couple games under his belt to get the rust knocked off before he gets to the Jets. So I thought it was a great, great move by Bill, and whatever it cost us, I think it was worth it.
He actually doesn't wear a belt, so he won't have anything under his belt because he uses his belt for beating.
Oh.
Jeez. That was a terrible story. I grew up in the South, and I certainly got my share of whoopings, and I'm telling you, I never, ever in my life or my family or cousins and everybody else, you never seen whoops like that.
Right. And
did your scrotum ever bleed?
No.
And
not,
you know
not
what?
From that.
I don't know if they're alive, but I'd be interested to talk to Adrian Peterson's parents. Did you beat your son to a bloody pulp?
Right. Because, you know, I thought when the pictures first came out, the first thing I made like a poor joke at, and your boy Jerry Thornton actually made the joke on Twitter, is, no, these aren't from Passion of the Christ. That's what that was. That was an absolute bloodbath, because remember, these were plus a week old. What do you think those whip marks looked like when they were fresh?
Right.
There was blood.
There
was a lot of blood.
The kid was 4 years old.
That's the other thing. 4 years old.
That's 4 years old.
I'm not going to lie to you.
It's just terrible.
I could maybe see when 12, 13, 14, there's going to be a point where I'm going to be pushed to a limit.
Can you imagine,
not four.
Can you imagine being a mother? You send your kid away to your ex-boyfriend or whatever he was at the time, and you get your kid back, and it's time to go to bed, and you take off his clothes, and like, what the? Can
right.
you imagine?
Well, she didn't have to get surprised because he told her.
Yeah. Right. Well, can you imagine, though, you send your kid away for a weekend and he comes back like that? Holy crap.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, I guess that's about all I had.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Good
thanks,
talking
Jerry.
With you.
Let's go to Todd in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
How are you doing, Fred?
Good.
Just a quick comment. I've been listening for the last week and a half to a lot of people complaining, talking, and then still complaining and talking. Really, I think the biggest problem with our team is we've lost that ability to be balanced. And I think it starts with our coaching. I think what's happening is they try to make people too versatile, so we're not getting the right people that can just play and do the job where they're supposed to be. We're trying to make everybody fit everywhere, and, you know, it's nice to have a Swiss Army knife, but you need to go in with a gun or a mortar or a tank for some of these games. And I just don't think that your handy-dandy one-size-fits-all is going to do it. The same thing's going on with the receivers, the O-line, the D-line, the running backs. It's just, let's have our Swiss Army knife. Everybody can do a little bit of this. We put Devlin as a tight end. We put people in as, you know, we put some DB in as a safety, and safety's kind of trying to do something else. It's just too much general and not enough specific guys.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
I sort of agree with Todd on some of the specialization stuff. We've talked about it a little bit.
What's your go-to? You know what?
Right.
Yeah. What is it that you do that other teams can't stop?
But this particular offense, the offensive problems that we're talking about, I don't know if it's because of that. I would say that those kinds of things are more defensive oriented, and I think they played pretty well defensively on Sunday. But again, they sort of had to just stop trying to reinvent the wheel and just play guys and put guys in positions where they can succeed. I think that was the big difference from Chandler Jones, is instead of being covered up by tackles and being smothered for 60 minutes, he was able to get off the edge a little bit and not have to take that pounding all game. And Andy talked about Hightower, and I would agree with that. And I also think with Hightower, we're critical of his pass defense ability, and he's been kind of critical of himself in that regard. But I thought he's made some nice plays very quickly after guys have caught the ball.
Being
short
there.
Tackles,
yep.
Being right on a guy, yep. You know, a 3-yard pass is a 3-yard gain. And
I think he's
done a good job of that. He looks quick.
I may be misspeaking here, but I think he, over a 2-game span, may have been the best defensive player for the Patriots.
I think certainly if you take both games into account, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he was pretty good in the first game, too.
Yeah.
And not a lot of other guys, I would think, fell into that category.
Let's go to Pat in Brooklyn. Hey, Pat.
Hello?
Hey.
Oh. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good. A couple of points. One of the main points being the Adrian Peterson situation. So I just want to bring in something maybe a little personal here. So my wife is Southern, and she had often told me how her grandmother would tell her to go pick a switch, and she'd come back and she'd get her spankings, but never anything along the lines of what I witnessed, you know, through TMZ and on the online videos. I mean, on the online pictures that I saw. So it just kind of leads me to believe that I think Adrian Peterson, knowing now that there is a second child that he's also possibly abused, I think that he's someone that, just because of his mentality and his lack of an understanding of what he's done, I don't think he should be left unsupervised with any children, whether they're his own or not. And secondly, I don't think he should ever be allowed to punish a child except verbally, because I don't think he understands the boundaries.
He may not.
So that's the first point I wanted to make. And then the next point I wanted to make was regarding Logan Mankins. And I think Bill Belichick looked back at a couple of things regarding Logan Mankins. And I think his play in one of the Super Bowls, particularly against Justin Tuck, may have factored into it. And someone leaked something. I don't know whether it was true or not, that Logan Mankins may have been responsible for maybe the highest number of sacks last year on Brady. So I have a funny feeling that when Belichick asked him to take the pay cut and he didn't, he just felt that the number that he was paying him was just so out of line that he had no choice but to just try to unload the salary on somebody else.
But why not do that in April or May?
Well, they tried. Oh, you mean the trade?
Yeah, or trade, or making that decision. You know?
Well, they went to him. Mankins was
open
with that. They went to him about a. I think the biggest issue here is sort of a self-made one. Not saying I'm criticizing it. I'm just saying I think the root issue is when Logan Mankins outplayed his contract, he was told, play it out, and then we'll take care of you. Now, it's not play the contract out, it's we got to redo the contract. You wouldn't redo it when I wanted to redo it. I'm not redoing it when you want to redo it.
Look, Logan Mankins is like Richard Seymour in that respect. You know, he wasn't one of these guys to take hometown discounts or pay cuts or anything like that.
And how I would be. Yeah. If I go to you.
Now, look, I don't blame him for not doing it.
And you say, no, we play out our contracts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we play out our contracts.
Yeah, I don't blame him for
not doing it. Not a two-way street, buddy.
I think that's what's really wrong with the NFL. If the NFL is just about the most profitable league out there, and the longevity of the players is only approximately 4 years in general, then why can't these guys have guaranteed contracts, knowing what the circumstances are? And the minute that their play falls, they're expected to take that cut. But if they outperform the contract to a very large extent, most of the times they don't end up, reaping the benefits of that. So the NFL is a very hypocritical league in a lot of ways.
It is. I mean, sure it is.
Yeah, and I've never understood the argument why can't have guaranteed contracts. I've never understood it.
Oh, I do.
I don't. Yeah. Why? Okay.
It's just too many.
Articulate it, please.
There's just too many guys in the team. You need to tie them up for more than 1 year at a time, and you need to have flexibility. You know, there's so many moving parts in football.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You know?
You didn't convince me in any way.
What is not being able to? What is guaranteed contracts having to do with not being able to tie guys up for more than 1 year at a time?
Because if you have a four-year contract and the guy, gets hurt in year two, now you have to pay those other 2 years, and he's not playing for you. There's too many.
Like the NHL.
There's too many injuries in football.
In Major League Baseball.
There's too many players on
NBA.
A team.
I'm not saying there wouldn't be a transition period where you would have to now figure out what the value of a player is because you're stuck to the contract.
It would change things.
You might not be paying $25 million to your quarterback knowing you might be stuck on it. Those might come down. But I think you could very easily figure out a way to have guaranteed contracts, and it's just an excuse of an ownership and a league that wants to maintain the system they have that benefits them.
It's a good system. All right, let's take a break. Got a lot of emails, and I do want to get to them, but the calls are still coming in. It's a big Patriots Tuesday here on PFW in Progress. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. The phones are lit up. The emails are coming in. Sylvie in Seattle says, I'm not going to say we're bad or great yet. Too early either way. Also, regarding the defense, they played great. But they were supposed to against Matt Castle and a Peterson-less Vikings. So I think we're almost around where we should be and progressing to be even better. We don't play a real quarterback until week 4. And then we have a murderous 7-game stretch from October 16th to December 7th. Seeing how we've played so far, how do you think we come out of that stretch if we play healthy throughout?
I have no idea.
No.
If you play like this, not very well. I mean, not going to be pretty.
Isn't one of those teams Green Bay? And Green Bay's not doing that great right now, you know, so it's hard to tell at this point.
Oh, but really I can tell. If you play like this against the Packers, the Colts, the Broncos, and the Chargers, you will be sub 500 in that series of games.
Okay.
You'll be 1-3.
All right.
I got to give you credit. You were able to say Peterson-less Vikings. That's something Mark Bertrand could not say post-game, and he's a professional radio.
Really?
Peterless Viking. And I go, well, it's kind of appropriate. They were.
That's one of those declarations that Andy just made that, unfortunately, Fred, we're not going to be able to throw back in his face. Because you know, and I know, Fred, they're not going 1-3 in that stretch.
Right.
At the worst, they'll go is 2-2. But he'll say, well, I said if they played as badly.
Right, and they didn't play as badly as
So no matter what they do, they could go out there and take a steaming dump at midfield, and he still wouldn't say that they played that bad.
That's very vulgar.
LT from Adelaide, from it was good to see the Patriots bounce back on the weekend and record the W. Some observations on the game. One, Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones were impact players, but I'm worried about Hightower's role when we play teams with elite passing games like Denver and Green Bay. Two, I know he's missing two groins, but Danny Amendola looks like an 80-year-old Paul Perillo with two torn Achilles. Even on the pass interference by Dobson, he looked like he couldn't run with the ball in hand. I know that the offense will get better as the year goes on, so hoping we can put it all together late in the season. And Paul Perillo, quote, Bill Belichick's teams do not commit those kinds of penalties. Between that and Andy swearing, you guys are the best shows on podcasts around. Keep up the great work.
I did not swear.
But that is part of the thing that's really struck me about the penalties is, listen, I can be as critical as anybody at Belichick, but he does not have those kinds of teams. They don't commit a lot of penalties. I mean, that was the most, right?
Yeah.
The most ever for a Bill Belichick coach team, at least here.
And there's also no, like, binding tie of all the penalties. They're all over the place. Both sides of the ball, different right. types.
And as
different...
Bill said, too, yesterday in talking about it, you know, that's not even taking into consideration all the ones that got declined.
Right.
They're just pushing the envelope.
Or the ones where you're not allowed to take two penalties on one play.
That needs to get cleaned up. There's no, I mean.
No.
That's I don't care how strict they're calling the games. They're getting called more than everybody else.
Right. Everyone, well.
What? Go ahead.
Well, these different refereeing crews, you want to say everyone's on the same playing field, but from game to game and crew to crew, it differs.
Can I ask a stupid referee-related question real quick? All I hear is the refs are mic'd up now so they can communicate better, and the only time they tell me that is when all the refs are coming together to talk in face-to-face in a huddle.
Right. I agree.
I haven't seen any advantage of these mic'd up, quicker, talking to each other.
Yeah.
They still run together and all huddle up somewhere.
You know, I know we haven't had him yet, but I watched a game with him in it, and Hercules is still the worst.
He talked for about a half an hour the other night.
Oh.
Thursday night.
He just has to talk to everybody and then pat him on the bum when he's done. He's unbelievable.
Bum.
On the bum.
Michelle, who loves
him. Now, could he do that if it was a woman?
You know, that's a good question.
Because we had female officials in the preseason, so they're coming. Sooner or later, you're going to have a reel.
Right.
And if you pat her on the bum, are you just treating her like any other official, or are you sexually harassing her?
Good question. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata.
I can't believe I got a good question for that.
As much as I love Brady, sweet Jesus with the sulking already, you'd think the Vikings laid a 50-burger on us. His utter refusal to throw to anyone not named Edelman and Gronkowski is just mind-boggling. At this rate, Edelman isn't playing 16 games. The penalties have made me call the Patriots the Raiders of the East. That has to be addressed, as Paul just said. Another week of humble pie a la mode is coming up.
No.
Wow.
No a la mode.
Not
this week.
You'll
just get the damn pie.
If you have that kind of a game against the Raiders. This Raiders team, I watched a lot of that game the other day. They were abysmal against
Houston. Oh, yeah, they're
Houston.
Not good. Yeah. They're already going to can the guy.
But they shouldn't be that bad.
Why?
Because they have some talent.
Yeah, everybody has individual talent.
This was unbelievable.
It's not about collecting talent, Paul. It's about building a team. You just said something, and I agree with you. That
I did just say something.
Amendola did not look good on the pass that he caught that didn't count, that we never knew about.
Open because Dobson killed somebody.
If we're going to just super psychoanalyze this whole relationship between the complementary receivers and the quarterback, is there something to be said for they know they get the ball so rarely that they're like nervous about getting it and like, I got to maximize this because he'll never come to me again.
I think, remember I said that about Ocho Cinco, and I probably am wrong, but I said, you know, in Cincinnati, they throw to him so often, you know, the drops would, you know, just be glossed over by the next thing. And his opportunities here were so rare that, my God, you know, I can't drop it. He knew that if he didn't drop it, he wasn't going to get thrown to for the rest of the game.
Now you just have about 12 guys that are thinking that way.
Right. It's almost like Ridley.
Right.
You know?
It's except instead of fumbling,
there is no room for error.
Right.
No room for error.
Imagine if we had some bad quarterback as our quarterback.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Oh, by the way, before you get going, Chester, you just reminded me. I'm in Minnesota, and there was a Twitter thing that there was going to be a gathering at Kiernan Irish Pub.
Did you get stood up?
There were like four people.
Well, this is awkward.
And, you know, so I was a little embarrassed because I was with some marketing people, and I said, hey, you know, I hear there's going to be – why don't you come with me? And they came with me and made me look bad.
And you don't need that.
Made me look bad.
He just sounded sad when he said it. Made me look bad.
Well, anyway, Chester, go ahead.
I'll tell you what, San Diego will be the antithesis of that. I just booked travel. I can't wait to see you there. I hear hype all the time about the San Diego trip. Guys, I heard on the pregame social you guys talking about being there for the week. I'm going to try to get there a little earlier than planned, but I'm flying in Friday. But I sure hope to connect with you guys. I don't know what happened in Minnesota, Fred, but that's a fluke. I don't know what happened there. But San Diego, man, let's circle that, baby, because it's going to be on.
All right.
Real quick, man, what about these injuries this week? My goodness, unbelievable. I mean, I think if there's any silver lining beyond winning 30-7 is that we walk away healthy. I mean, Jesus, I mean, this is crazy to see how many injuries occurred this last Sunday. And I just got to say, I think it's a reminder that, you know, we've just got to continue to keep, you know, our team healthy because, you know, the worst happens and, you know, who knows.
The Kansas City Chiefs have like nine starters down.
Shoot the whole team. They're done.
They misread the calendar. They thought we were supposed to play them next week, not 2 weeks that we're playing Kansas City.
You know, but, wanted to say, you know, Fred, I didn't catch up with you, obviously, on Sunday, but I have some cautious optimism going into this one. Mainly because I needed to see some change with the offensive line, namely. I felt like we made some improvements there. I was happy to see, and I guess the jury's out on how strong Minnesota's pass rush or front seven is, but, you know, definitely nice to see some improvement there. My boy Melvin in Tennessee made a point on the postgame show about how we should have put up a lot more points than 30. I agree, frankly. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities left out there. You know, we talk about Brandon Bolden. And I think the one thing that magnified this, and I don't know if this is a play-calling issue that just made him look like a complete dog, but it was 2nd and 18 going into the red zone, and they run a draw to Bolden. The kid stutter steps, looks like Lawrence Maroney out there, does nothing. I mean, you know, we talk about him being such a backup of a backup, and then he goes into a position like that at 2nd and 18, they run a draw. It's beyond me. Man, I've been saying this for a while, but I think we've got to cut ties. I know the James White experiment is still pending. Right now with him on the practice squad, but yeah, I just feel like we're going nowhere with a guy like Bolden, and you know, unless it's garbage time, I just don't want to see the guy out there. I'm not seeing the instincts. I'm not seeing any kind of assertion going to the line on his carries. But you know, that's that with him as far as I'm concerned. Another point, great to see Hightower pass rushing. It reminded me of that week one Tennessee game 2 years ago where he and Chandler Jones were, you know, active up front. I loved it. And you know, so just to kind of piggyback on your points, I think we're finally starting to see him in a strong suited position where, you know, he's up on the line. He's using his size to his advantage. I want to see more of that. I really want to see more of that. But the defense overall, they play with attitude. They played my style of football. They were aggressive. They were out there hungry. I know the turnovers obviously played to that. But, you know, I just think they got to keep that edge. I feel like this defense, even more so than the offense, needs to set the tone every day to keep this offense inspired. And with that said, the offense needs to follow suit and start playing with a little bit more moxie. You know, I heard a comment a couple of days ago about needing to see Brady out there getting jazzy. I agree. I think he needs to go out there and start swinging. I feel like he's overanalyzing, much like we are, about 2 weeks of football. Look, to me, the bottom of the line is the whole league is finding themselves right now. Even the top dogs that we consider as being these unbeatable teams like Seattle are 1-1. So let's keep our eye on the ball. I need to see steady improvement week to week. It feels like a 5 week or 6 week long preseason at this point. We got the Raiders next week. The trap game of all trap games, which I just don't want to see any let up there. It's a non-negotiable. We go out, we win big. And I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Chester from Portland, always bringing it.
That's going to do it for the show today.
Let's go to Elvis in North Carolina. Hey, Elvis. Did I get that right? Elvis, you there? Elvis! All right, goodbye, Elvis.
He's left the building.
Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
What's up, Mike?
G'day.
Well, it's tough act to follow. The king of PFW and then Elvis himself.
Literally, Elvis himself. He's dead. Can't speak.
Well done.
And he got me to court yesterday. So, But I'll keep it quick with just two basic questions, two things I kind of want you to dig down deeper into a little bit. Line play on both sides of the ball. As someone who wasn't able to watch the game, it seemed that that was markedly improved over the last week. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit more, whether it was a change of scheme, how much of a role Stork played. On the defensive side, was there a mix of 3-4 or 4-3, or did they settle down into a 3-4? And the other question I have is, what was the effect of Peterson's absence? I mean, do you think they still would have won, or just with a reduced margin, do you think the result would have been much the same? Would they possibly lost? So just those two questions, line play in the trenches and the Peterson effect.
Oh, second question first, no effect. I mean, it would have played out the same way both games.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I think that the outcome would have been the same. And we all picked the Patriots to win the game on Thursday. So we think the outcome would have been the same, but no question the game was affected. And all you have to do is look at Matt Castle threw four interceptions. If they have Adrian Peterson in the backfield, they're not letting Matt Castle throw four interceptions. They had to do that.
But if Matt Asiata doesn't play, maybe they don't have their only touchdown.
That's why he's the positive member of the show, Fred.
And the line play, I think, was better, but I certainly offensively wouldn't say it was great or elite or maybe even look as good as the numbers might say on paper.
I gave him a C+.
Yeah, that's probably a good grade.
That's yeah,
a little bit above average. Certainly a step up from the previous week.
And they improved. I think Chester said that, you know, was glad to see them improve, and they did improve.
Certainly, they improved
defensively.
But the rate of improvement, I'm questioning. I need that to be better.
Defensively, Dan, they did a lot of both. They started in the 3-4, and even before that first series was over, that they got carved up. They had gone to some 4-man fronts. Fred is right. They did a lot of sub work and
a little 50 cover two.
Yeah. Yeah, what is the signal, Andy?
It's a fist. It's very simple. 50, tap on the head is cover two.
So they did a lot of different stuff, and I thought changing the way they used Chandler Jones I thought was the biggest thing that stuck out to me. They started with him right back down, covered up by a tackle at the very beginning of the game, and then they sort of slid him a little bit further outside as either a 4-3 end or even a stand-up outside linebacker and some of those sub packages and stuff. So I thought that was a better utilization of his skills.
All right. Thanks, Dan. All right. Let's get into some of these emails at webradio@patriots.com.
I'm telling you, this is starting to make people angry.
That we
too
don't
much calls, not enough emails, both here and in the game day shows.
All right. Well, I do want to reward people for being live with the show. I know a lot of these emails
are
also.
Some people are live.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
No. You can be live and email in.
Yeah.
Some people just can't call necessarily.
Matt from Oregon, Castle had a bad day, but his receivers didn't help him at all either. Love to see the Patriots win so handily. Hate to see it come at Matt Castle's expense. You guys rock. Kevin sucks at drop-ins.
Yeah. I don't think you need at drop-ins.
I thought two of the...
he's got his umbrella up right now.
Two of the picks had as much to do with the receivers as anything else. I thought the one that Revis had... And the one that Logan Ryan had, I thought the receivers quit on their routes, and that was a big part of it. I thought on those two. Now Castle made a bad throw on the deep ball that McCourty made a terrific play on. It was a bad throw. It was late and it was too far to the inside.
Which, by the way, is the subject of this week's Take Tuesday. If you want to take a look on Patriots.com, get some nice screen captures, and Paul Perillo put it together
good
nicely.
News, they said that we did a good job with that.
Yeah, they don't
the
care.
Boys. No, the boys.
I know, they don't care.
But
as long as they don't have to do it, whatever we do, they're going to say is a good job.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise,
so,
they would just put up a generic photo that wouldn't really go together.
Did you just crush me? Were they damning me with faint praise?
Yes.
Oh.
Because they don't want to do it.
Now I feel bad about
anything
myself.
You do that they don't have to do, they're going to say is good.
I had to get a screen capture, Freddie. That's not exactly in my forte, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Andy had to do it for me.
Brad in Maine.
It's not exactly in his forte either, just so you know.
Brad in Maine says it was certainly nice to see the Patriots bounce back from last week's loss. I'm concerned offensively.
Hey, Mike Rodak.
Brady looked like someone pooped in his Cheerios during the postgame presser, and I don't blame him. The way our defense played, it should have been a complete blowout. Hopefully, we can count on Ridley to keep pounding the rock and holding on to it too, because we need the run. We cannot keep putting the game on number 11's shoulders. If he keeps taking brutal hits, he's going to get hurt. The rest of our offense needs to step up and perform. Despite the offensive struggles, I feel confident we'll be in the mix in December as always. I'm just glad we paid $30 million for Amendola. What would we do without him? I wonder if anyone filed
That's
a missing
nice.
Persons report because he disappeared all game.
I listen to every podcast and appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you. You know, the second half thing, Chester had mentioned how some of the better teams, quote-unquote better teams, haven't played well. And it does seem like there hasn't been anybody that's really opened the season impressively.
Except for the Seattle, but then they turned around and lost on the road. Yeah.
Except for the fact they played two games and lost one of them.
Right. I said they opened up impressively.
I'm not talking about one game. I'm talking about the first 2 weeks of the season. Well,
they opened up impressively, and then they turned around and lost a game.
Yeah, and Denver has won both of their games, but have similar problems as the Patriots in the second half offensively. Mm-hmm. They scored 7 points in the first game in the second half, and only three this week in the second half.
Right.
So their yardage, and I mean, we all knew that they weren't going to continue at that kind of pace that they had last year. But, but you know,
well, the
first half of both of their games, they have continued their pace. And then in the second half, they drop off. Because they scored 24 points in the first half the first week and 21 in the first half the second week.
Yeah, the Patriots scored 20 in the first half.
They're getting nothing in the second half. Yeah, but all turnovers.
Yeah, they were all on their way. Three straight
turnovers for the Patriots.
Yeah, they're dominant. The other interesting thing is all these penalties, and everybody goes, you know, the offense, you're going to keep breaking records. And two 300-yard passers this week, first time that few since 10, I think. I mean, hasn't exactly rolled out and well on the way to record-setting offense again either.
Well, the other part of that is that might be record-setting points because of the penalties, but I never got the whole, because they're going to call it like this, we're going to have maybe a 6,000-yard passer because those don't count for your yardage.
No, well, the idea is people will stop doing it, and by stop doing it, they won't be anywhere near the receiver.
You know they're not going to. They're going to stop calling it eventually.
Fred tells me Darrell Revis hasn't been as impressive as I want him to be. It's a different game now. You can't be near the players. You can't touch anybody.
Oh, that's silly.
That's what I told him.
It's not silly. Simon in the UK, firstly, I want to thank
Andy
and Paul
for
their
penalties. He's Revis.
Firstly, they called him last game for holding.
Plus, some of the plays I'm talking about, they couldn't call him for holding. He'd have to be able to reach the guy to hold him.
Simon in the UK, firstly, I want to thank Andy and Paul for their performance on the Xbox postgame show when Andy was spewing from the mouth, I think my weekend was made. Anyway, I want to throw out a question statement for you guys. I believe that Brady feels more comfortable and is also far more proficient at throwing between 5 and 15 yards. Throughout his career, we have seen him drive down the field, whether in the two-minute offense or not, with various receivers running to the first down marker and turning back to haul in a throw. With four receivers, one is always able to get free. Why not just have him do that whenever he needs it? I know the Vikings defense was weaker than Miami, but with Brady sometimes unable to get enough time in the pocket, why not continue to look for those short routes? I don't know. You know? Those short routes were Welker and Aaron Hernandez and, you know.
Yeah, but they still have the ability to throw shorter routes with Gronkowski and Edelman. But That is your buddy, Fred, Brian Morey, you know, had to call me yesterday, and so he could talk about the game. I guess he couldn't wait for me to just come in today. And one of the things that he complains about with Brady is that he has gotten away from that, exactly what the emailer just said. It used to be that it was always third and two, let's move the chains. Let's not push the ball downfield, and it seems like we've thrown a lot of deep balls on third downs already this season, and by a lot, I don't mean, you know, 10, 12, but, you know, he had a couple of occasions where it's been third and three, third and four, third and five, and they're going deep. I don't know. I mean, I like to think that Brady understands where he's supposed to go with the ball and doesn't make a lot of mental mistakes during the course of a game, so I don't know what the defense is giving you and what the look is and all that stuff, but Brian Morey made the same complaint as the emailer.
LaShawna from West Palm Beach about Ed Hercules. I know Ed talks too much when my 9-year-old godson says, why is he still talking? I just laughed, and then Ed continued to explain for another 5 minutes why the play wasn't a penalty and how the clock needed to be reset to 12:40.
He had one, I'm telling you. I forget what game it was, but he went on forever. It was a good, like, over 30 seconds where he's just talking and talking and talking. Mm.
Ivan from Orlando, I'm really proud of how our defense played. Except for the second half of the Dolphins game, our defense has been very good. 7 sacks, 5 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries in 2 games. We are also 4th in pass defense over those 2 games and in yards allowed. What I'm worried about is our penalties, which should improve quickly. I love the Hightower move to 3-4 outside linebacker. He and Jones on the outside giving Ninkovich some rest or mixing those three will allow them to be fresher over the season. with that Raiders O-line in that beat-up Kansas City O-line, I can see our two former first-round picks could be getting a lot of media attention coming into Week 5, the Bengals game, with four sacks apiece. All right. Let's see. A lot of Acorn emails.
Acorn emails?
What does that mean?
The Acorn, the nut wizard. People wondering. It's
I thought
funny.
That was that fraudulent organization that got your president elected.
Ever since I got the nut wizard, I haven't had a lot of acorns in my backyard. That one year, it was unbelievable, and it hasn't been the same since.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Here's where we get an email from. Actually, an acorn is not a nut. It's a seed or something.
Let's see.
I have no idea what I'm going to talk about in the show.
Scott from New Hampshire.
We got plenty of time, Paul.
Scott from New Hampshire.
16 minutes.
Ask Chester from Portland to call in right after the break so you guys can have an extra 10 minutes to finish lunch.
That's a good point.
That's a very, maybe we can, you know,
we can
time
work that
it
out
correctly, yeah.
If he buys lunch, that'd be perfect.
Let's see. Brian in Essex, Vermont, about Xbox One ads. You guys probably aren't aware of this, but it's worth noting that you can pick up an Xbox One for $399 virtually anywhere now, and there are like 10 Microsoft stores in the United States. Ergo, the vast, vast majority of potential buyers will probably go their entire lives without seeing a Microsoft store. Might be time to update your Xbox ads.
Yeah, we don't write copy.
Do you guys even listen to him?
Yeah, I actually correct it because sometimes he messes up. And it's interesting copy.
Why? Is it saying that they're $500 on that?
No, it's $399 at your local Microsoft store or something.
Yeah,
and I always said, why can't I just combine a Best Buy?
Yeah,
but they want to drive you into their store, which are limited.
Liam, quick question: when should we be worried about Gronk? Week 7?
The second half of the season, yes. I mean, it's very common for guys to come off ACLs, and the first half of the year is slowed. Now, the guy earlier, he asked, "Is this just the knee, or is this it's going to be the rest of his career?" Well, it could be in the middle somewhere. He might not get back to where he was. I don't think he's going to be what he is right now in week 15 if he's playing. I don't. I think he's going to be better. I think he'll be more fluid. I think he will make strides.
I think he'll be more fluid, but then you're talking about a season's worth of wear and tear. Right. So how much difference will you notice?
I don't know. Does he only play the second half like he did this week?
How many snaps did Gronk have for this week?
28.
Okay.
Did you... Just
counting penalties. That was 27 on this sheet, 28 for Mike Reese. I only remembered it because it's the same exact amount that Cameron Fleming played, which
I actually
thought was
that
interesting.
Mike writes in, and he wants to call McDaniels out for his play call.
Everybody does.
He says he hates Josh. He lacks any creativity, a total of 6 points in 4 second half quarters.
Right. It's all his fault. Get rid of him.
I mean,
if you don't want to have a conversation about it,
I don't.
You know,
I don't want to have a conversation.
We could just end the whole show.
You have no issue with the play calling?
I have no issue.
I don't necessarily either, but
I
mean,
you're an idiot.
I don't.
Everybody wants to jump on Josh McDaniels all the time.
I just think that
Bill's great. Josh and Patricia suck. Bill's great. Josh and Patricia suck. Bill's great. Josh and Patricia suck.
We get it. We get it.
Somebody text Moose and tell him we can start in the media room. They've got their stuff already there. Kenny in Virginia, hey guys, had a quick question in regards to the new tight end, Wright.
He has been
rather quiet thus far, which is understandable having to learn a new offense rather quickly, but do you think his lack of production is solely due to still learning on the go? Mrs. Brady and his trust issues.
Does that say Mrs.?
Yeah. The run-heavy game plan, or perhaps all of the above. I have no idea how many snaps he played, but it crossed my mind and figured I'd run it by you guys since you know what's up.
Tim Wright?
Yeah.
Hey, they played a lot of – they ran the ball.
Right.
I mean, they had 65 plays offensively, and they only threw the ball 26 times. Right?
Right.
25
right.
attempts and a sack. So, I mean, they didn't throw the ball very much. So, if you're going to go with a run-heavy offense, Tim Wright's not going to be on the field. He's not a blocker.
Allen writes in, I, for one, am sick of hearing the bullcrap that we always do what's in the best interest of the team, and in the next breath, Tom says he won't look at other receivers because of trust. It's about time to use all our weapons. Gronk is not playing to his capabilities, and they are about to play Edelman into the ground. Enough is enough already. Sick of the BS. I've been a fan since 1973. Al from Austin.
I love those.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I don't know. People do seem to be very...
You know, I don't know.
People do seem to... I'm just watching the punt that you were talking about.
The next one's even worse.
Come on, man.
So talk while you do that.
That's amazing they had all those guys there. Couldn't.
Daniel from Coconut Creek, Florida. I'm unable to stream live your shows for a while. It keeps cutting off. I have an iPad, too, and it's all up to date with updates. I have reset the iPad, restarted it, and still have the same. A shame, since I really enjoy your shows live. P.S. Fire Eric.
Woo! That's a good one.
Daniel from Coconut Creek, Florida.
Now, what's his problem?
He's having trouble listening to the stream on his iPad.
Okay, so what? Give him an answer. Give him a solution.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of variables there. I check other streams. Are you having any problems with those? Usually the answer is no. It's just ours. So I don't know.
Is it intermittent stream? Is it a weak stream?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, I thought we were talking about prostates.
It's hard. It's really hard. Nothing? Okay.
See, he gets mad if I don't give him what he wants in terms of
I'm just waiting, but nothing happened.
That's what she said.
Bob says, I know it's only 2 weeks, but the Patriots are number one in defensive passive rating at 54.8. The next are the Bengals at 61.7. And the Patriots are plus five in the turnover ratio, which is tied for second. Carolina is first with plus six. And in the AFC, the Patriots are only 5 points behind the leader, the Denver Broncos, in points scored, 50-55. It's not as bad as you think it is.
Who's saying we think it's bad?
Strippers thinks Brady has lost arm strength.
Oh, okay. Well, that's offensively.
He's
all
asking.
All the emails are about defense.
Yeah.
And again, I know that you hate when I do this, Fred. But
we love the defense.
I would expect the statistics defensively to be very good when you're playing the teams that you're playing right now.
But in the past, they haven't been.
No, they have been. They did it last year when you said they had a nuclear-powered defense. This is what
before they
opened
they
the
got
season
hurt.
With.
Before they
right.
got hurt.
And they opened with guys like this. So
true.
When they do it against good teams, then I'll take note.
Okay.
And Fred's going to take a call while
And
I'm
I also
here.
Would say that I thought Ryan Tannehill, even though he didn't throw for a tremendous amount of yardage, completed way more passes than Ryan Tannehill should complete. I think we made him look better than he is.
So it's worse than we think it is.
Now, Castle, again, backup. You made look like a backup.
Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, a 1-0 team was booing their quarterback off the field so they could get another guy in there. Right?
Debbie writes,
that's how bad he is.
Don't yell at me.
Just my opinion, but I feel the management is treating Tom Brady with little respect. They took away Logan Mankins, and now Tom also has no receivers but Edelman. Longer you are on the team, the less respect you get.
She's also the one that gets mad if I say anything bad about Giselle.
Okay. Gisella?
Gisella. Mike from Rancho Cucamonga, California. I wanted to know who you think playing the strong safety role has looked the best in this short period. Also, my guess for Brian Timms is if no one gets injured, then they will drop Boyce and put Timms on the practice squad.
Could be.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Or they could drop somebody else because it's now a 10-man practice squad. There's a lot of bodies on there.
Right.
What was the first part of that? Oh, Paul, you handle that.
Well,
best strong safety so far.
I don't think they've had one. And I think we talked about that earlier in the show. I think that if they felt like they had one that was better, they would go with them. But they're going with four different guys that have played more than 10 snaps at safety the other day with Devin McCourty. I think that tells you that they don't know who it is. They don't know the answer to that question. Chung, Harmon, Ebner, Tavon Wilson. Take your pick.
Juve has some advice for the guy having the problem with his iPad. He says, buy a non-Apple product. Apple sucks. Love the show, guys. Pre-post games are hilarious. Keep up the great work.
Is that true? Does Apple suck?
No.
Are they overrated technologically?
No.
No.
They're solid.
Pray. A lot of praise for the pre- and post-game show. I don't know if you've been noticing. Evidently, he hasn't been noticing.
We're killing it. He doesn't care.
Phil says,
blood, sweat, and tears into those.
Phil says, good job, PFW, and the new PFW post game helps vent out after the game. We should go back the good old Patriots sweep pass with our short ghost receivers packed together on one side the way they all contribute. A lot in that sentence that doesn't make sense. No problem with the cut and paste there, probably.
I just love, I watch your face when you're reading one of those.
The consternation. The more, like, it's like, weird. Oh my God, what is this guy trying to say?
Ian from UK, really pleased for Belichick getting his 200th regular season win. And had it, had me thinking I think he means it had me thinking how long he will go and how many regular season wins will he get before he retires. What do you guys think? Over or under 250 regular season wins before he retires?
So 250 at 12.
I'd say over.
You could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He could
I have given up.
He could get another 100 wins easy. Another 10 years?
You think he's going to coach another 10 years?
He's on record as saying he's not going to be Marv Levy.
That doesn't mean
he won't.
It has nothing to do with age. It could be just, you know.
He said he doesn't see himself coaching into his 70s like Marv Levy.
So he's got,
so that did mean age.
8 years?
Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to hold it to him. He said that a long time ago.
Right.
Maybe he's changed his
62?
Mind. 62? Something like that.
So 8 years.
But I also wouldn't hold him to him. I mean, if he decided, you know what,
I think he could walk away tomorrow.
I do too.
Or I think he could stay for 8 years. I really have no idea.
I don't either. You know what I thought was funny when he said, after the game, when they asked him about the 200th, what was that?
It's a fake something, and the guy plays dead.
Nobody knows
that's
what you're
not
talking
right.
about.
That's funny.
Not right.
Oh,
he faked a heart attack on the field. He grabbed his heart and fell backwards. That is not right. I don't think that's right. You're jerking with people's emotions.
He was asked about the 200th win, Freddie. Did you see that? And he said that he looked up to all those guys. Well, you know, maybe except for Curly. You know, Curly Lambeau.
Borderline.
Which was like, you know, 1920s. You know, and someone
I thought
said,
that was the one he was borderline. He was borderline sociopathic or something in terms of his like for him. Did you see?
I didn't see that.
Can we get that?
Was that on the radio or something?
It was almost worship, he said.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I thought that was Curly.
I thought in his post-game talk.
He said, I grew up really
looking up to all those
worship.
Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said, well, maybe other than Curly, I thought.
See, I thought
because
Curly
was so old.
Because Curly was, the
right.
only one that he would never have seen. That's how I took it.
He's talking about Shula. He's talking about, Landry? Not Landry. Shula. Who were the other people?
Is it
that
Hallis?
Chuck Noll?
Brown? I don't know. I don't know who they are.
Is Hallis one of them?
Yeah. He's among four
Curly
others
Lambeau.
Now. Yeah.
He's fourth, right?
Fourth or fifth?
I think he's tied for fourth with Marty Schottenheimer.
Tied for fourth, yeah. John,
but I thought the inference I read like you, like not Curly because I never saw him coach.
Right,
he was too
old. It means a lot. I mean, it means what it really means is I've coached a lot of good football players. You know, those are the guys that win the game. Players win games in this league, and you know, I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to coach a lot of great players, and so that's really about them winning the games. But that's certainly an honor to be. You know, to have my name thrown in there with some of those guys, I'd say really all of whom, maybe other than Curly, you know, that I looked up to as a kid and admired and maybe borderline worship, you know, as NFL coaches. So,
yeah, because Curly was way before his time.
Right. The exception was Curly, but someone sent an email in saying, like, what's up with Curly Lambeau? Why doesn't Belichick respect him? And I laughed because that's the way I took it, you know, the way. He's
and
saying,
plus, he was much better than Larry and Moe.
Other than Curly, meaning I never really watched him coach because he was so much older.
Right.
Poor John Rook. He follows you as a host of a show. You can't speak and you're bad jokes.
And John's upset because he has nothing to
nitpick. One more email.
Actually, yeah, you got plenty of nitpick.
One more email before we begin the crossover. John in South Carolina, I'm so sick of hearing this crap about Brady and trust. You want to see other players catch the ball, have them run the right routes, get open, and hold on to the ball when it hits them. If Brady kept throwing to Tompkins and LaFell and they kept dropping the ball, then all we would hear is, why does Brady keep throwing to them? As far as Amendola, he needs to get open quicker or the offensive line needs to block better. I guess Brady should block, throw, and catch the ball.
Who's this, Giselle?
And yes, Apple is overrated technologically, but great at marketing.
My husband cannot block, throw, and catch the ball, too.
John,
well, he is with you, emailer. 5 years from now, he'll be ready.
No, that's ridiculous. If he only has certain receivers and Brady throws to him, we'll say, well, they gave him crap to work with. Right now, we're saying he's not willing to work with the crap and or maybe not crap that they've given him.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And let's, like I said at the beginning of the show, let's throw to these guys, and then if they screw up, Brady will have all the evidence he needs to say to people, see, these guys stink.
I think I'm onto something. I think it's all Brandon Lloyd's fault. I think Brady was beaten down for a year to throw to him, it'll be worth it, and he invested a wasted year of his career, and he's not going to make that mistake again.
All right.
You buy it, John?
Speaking of mistakes, John Rooks here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Fred, how are you?
Good.
All things are coming to an end now. The Vikings are shutting down a message board.
Oh, really?
Yep, they are.
Wow.
He showed them.
Censorship.
You can't talk about things, but you can beat kids.
Vikings message board is shutting down permanently.
I shut ours down a few years ago. That's because no one was using it.
Well, there's a difference. I think there's a difference. But I guess that kind of leads into part of what I'm going to talk about today is whether or not we should perhaps continue to assume guilt before innocence is proven in the case of NFL players especially.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, where there's proof, yes, you know.
Where there's some proof.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Well, like in the Peterson case, there's proof.
Right.
He admits it.
Right.
He told you chapter and verse what he did.
I thought Steve Young said the best thing I've ever heard him say on the pregame show last night.
I forget what my name is.
He's hard to understand. He said, anywhere else in America, if you're accused of something like this, you're sent home. You might be paid, and it might play itself out, yep. But you're sent home. The first thing that they do is send you home. And that doesn't happen in the end.
So then, in your opinion, are these teams, the Vikings for one, maybe the Carolina Panthers for another, or certainly the San Francisco 49ers for another, because they haven't done anything about Ray McDonald, are they hiding behind the legal system?
Yes. No question. I think the Vikings are the worst of it. What due process? He has admitted to what he did. Now, he thinks it's right. But if you're the Vikings and you believe it's wrong, he crossed a line and was too physical with his son. If you believe it's wrong, if you believe he abused a child, there's no due process. You know what happened. He admitted it. There's photos. Suspend him. Sit him out. Do whatever you think is right as an organization. Otherwise, you're backing it.
Feel free to sit in the next hour if you like.
I gotta go. Got a TV show.
Oh, TV show.
Yeah, well, that's right.
I'd like to.
You're a multimedia star.
I'd much rather do this than the TV show we're gonna go do. Much rather.
I would too. At least I get paid for this.
Oh, ba-doom.
You get paid for the TV show.
You get paid for this?
Yeah, I have a salary. Fred pays a salary. You don't get a salary?
I don't get anything.
Wow.
Get
Fred, thanks.
Wow.
All right, John, have a good show. We've got TV to shoot.
And nitpicks. Don't forget nitpicks.
Right.
I continue
and
to think of this
And don't forget
Fantasy
Football Champs at 4 o'clock. I guess a lot of people are making a lot of money because of that.
People always say this is a great game for Belichick because they won and he can still criticize him. Now I think of it as you because you get to talk about a victory
a
but still
you.
Openly criticize them very easily.
Win-win.
15 penalties. Have at it.
Win-win.
Nitpick.
6 points in the
All right,
second
we'll be back tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.